much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We're like living deja vu all over again.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
League officials said soccer was just tired of pretending to be something it's not. Deep down, soccer is about a bunch of guys running around not touching a polka dot ball with their hands. It shouldn't have to hide how gay it is.
Now, will this change the way the game is played?
No. If anything, I think we'll see a firmer commitment to the gayest parts of soccer.
Interesting.
Players will feel free now to do their bicycle kicks, juggle the ball with their knees, and generally just be as gay as they want to be without worrying what people think.
You're wrong. Excuse me. Unless you've got the document to show me, this discussion shouldn't be happening. Show me where it says that.
Yes, I'll give her a plug.
Oh, yeah, please.
We try and teach our children not to make fun of others who are challenged.
By the way, I don't take no orders from no women.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Let's say a little prayer for peace.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over.
Sorry to crash the sausage party.
Roll another one.
She is quite the little go-getter.
Just like the other one.
I don't like the way you're talking.
This one seems to be about to quit.
That's such a big lie.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
I like turtles.
Roll,
roll.
Roll. Roll another one.
Let's get this show on the road.
Just like the other one.
You're a bastard, son of a bitch.
This one seems to be about to end.
What it is.
Soul brother.
I don't
rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Kevin gave, he gives everybody herpes.
Good.
Just pass it around.
Where's the outrage there?
I'm sorry, sir. I have no idea what you're saying.
Now. Boy, the only thing missing from this place is a couple dozen bodies limed and rotting in shallow graves under the floorboards.
Our feature presentation.
Got that handle on Beans End. No worries.
Taking care of it. Sure.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning.
I'm on drugs, by the way. I'm warning you guys now.
All right.
Why?
I don't know that I've ever done the show as on drugs as I am right now.
All right.
Is this your arm?
Welcome to my life.
Yeah, just briefly. I'll try not to mention it again, but yeah, it was super bad yesterday. I've got a torn rotator cuff, and it's been a real problem for a long time, and I've been doing everything I can with the therapy and the doctors and the shots and the whole deal. But you know, Kevin, from the long experience with your back, sometimes it's just unbearable. Sometimes it's just
to
the point where you just can't feel, you feel like you can't go on.
Dude, and I think you're going to have to make a choice. I think you're going to have to choose either do the Kevin and Bean Show or pitch for the Mariners. I mean, you can't do both. It's clearly killing you.
Well, I can't ever pitch again, that's for sure, or play tennis or throw a ball or a frisbee or anything. I can't move my arm that way. But last night it was just so bad that I had to break down and take drugs. And I almost never take drugs. I'm just one of these people who just does. I mean, I don't even like to take aspirin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I took Percocet last night.
All right.
And for whatever reason, and I've had it before a few times, for whatever reason, it just knocked me on my ass to the point where, I mean, within a few minutes, I was barely conscious. Slept all night, which is good. I needed some good sleep. Slept all night. Woke up this morning and I'm just moving in slow motion and barely able to function. It's crazy how fuzzy I am right now.
And then people came into your room and you were unresponsive, so they had to call 911.
Nope, that was just Lindsay.
Oh.
That was just Lindsay. So I'm warning you in advance. This is the disclaimer that get the Moment With machine ready to go, because I have no guarantees of what's going to come out of my mouth today.
This is the best Friday ever.
Can't wait.
It's not.
Thank
it
you,
feels.
Bean?
It feels terrible.
Here's what I
can barely keep my head up. I feel like I need to put my head on the desk right now.
When you feel like that, and I'm you know, I'm an expert.
Think of that, right?
You should take more. You know, it's like hair of the dog.
Oh,
really? Yeah, you have to take a little bit more, and then you'll perk right up.
Oh, okay.
Percocet.
Yes.
It's in the name.
I didn't I didn't realize I would. I should take more.
Just
okay.
Only like four.
All right. Well, I mean, you're a medical doctor.
Thank you.
So you would know. Let me start with two brief stories about two very different young men. One is named Spencer West. He is in the news this week. He was born with a rare genital spinal disorder. And when he was five, sadly, they had to amputate both of his legs.
Oh.
So that's how he's gone through his life since he was five.
Wait, it's a genital spinal disorder?
Genetic.
Genetic, not genital.
Genital.
Take one.
Love it.
Yay!
I told you that's the way it's going to be today.
Go on, tell us more.
Mark that.
So he had his legs amputated, of course. They told his parents, well, I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to do much with this boy. Well, now, of course, he's 31, and Kevin, you'll not be surprised. He's a motivational speaker.
Yeah.
And an activist based out of Toronto. He, this past week, climbed Mount Kilimanjaro on his hands.
Ugh.
It was bittersweet and incredible to finally make it after all the hardships we went through to get there. He was accompanied by his two best friends. He said, I would say it was humbling, beautiful, overwhelming. He climbed a mountain on his hands, guys.
Yeah.
Is what he did. The moment the summit was in sight, it was incredible. We looked around. We realized after seven grueling days of relentless climbing, after 20,000 feet of our blood, sweat, and tears, and let's face it, vomit, we actually made it. We were at the top. The summit sign seemed almost like a mirage. It has sunk in now. We made it to the top of the mountain that I promised to the world I would climb. The bleeding fingers and blisters were all worth it.
My God, I hate it.
By the time he got to the top, his hands were numb, his elbows were sore, his shoulders were sore, but there's something to be said about the determination and trying to reach your goal, and apparently that's what he's doing. He's raising money, naturally, because it's not just about him. He's raising money with the climb for the Free the Children's Sustainable Water Initiative in Kenya and made over $500,000 from
the
climb.
Hands are numb, bleeding, elbows hurt. You know what he didn't do? Take Percocet.
That's true.
Probably didn't need it.
He didn't.
He's a man.
Not once.
So that's guy number one. Guy number two, just briefly, Beer Mug came in today, late of course, as he is often, with this excuse. And can I humbly suggest that it's time for my alarm didn't go off is not an excuse. It does not exist. It is not real because there are no circumstances that your alarm does not go off unless you don't set it.
So you would rather hear, I forgot to set my alarm.
My alarm went off and I turned it off and went back to sleep. Those are the two honest answers. My alarm did not go off is not a thing. It does not exist. It is not real.
Sometimes it happens.
I don't think it does.
It happened to once because we had a power outage and then I reset it.
Don't you have the battery back up?
I did have a battery in it, but I guess I needed to change the battery. And so when I reset it, I didn't do the AM/PM right. So it didn't go off,
right.
Even though I said it.
You said
so
it wrong.
I just said it wrong.
But you didn't set it right, so it is.
Right, but it didn't go off.
Right, it didn't go off is not what Bean's saying.
And it's not like I didn't set it. I did
it was
set it.
Operator error, though. You
well,
say you come in and you
who
say,
would have known?
Hold on. You come in and you say, my alarm didn't go off, or you come in and say, I set my alarm wrong.
It was an honest mistake.
Right, but which do you say?
I say,
My alarm didn't go off. That's not true.
And that's my point, is that
that's true, but.
Is no longer acceptable. That needs to be retired as of today.
Hang on,
22nd of June.
Muggs is about to tell you why he was accurate.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's a satellite alarm clock. It's not plugged into the wall. So when the battery does get low, it tends to reset itself. So
in the middle of the night,
I keep my alarm clock set at 4 a.m. every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned it on. And next thing you know, I'm waking up and it's 5 o'clock. My body clock woke me up. It's not plugged into the wall. It's a satellite alarm clock. So I'm just saying
saying.
All right.
Bean is just saying in his
defense. I am just saying. No longer a defense. My alarm did not go off is not an offense.
Defense.
Whatever it is.
And I got to tell you, as far as Beer Mug goes, it's always operator error. So there are certain people we're sure of.
So again, just to put an exclamation point on it, you've got this guy who climbed Mount Kilimanjaro on his hands, okay, and then you got Beer Mug who is an hour up getting up late because his alarm didn't go off. Those are the two types of humans. That's the full range of the human experience.
That's both
right
ends
there
of the scale.
One story. It sure is.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Sounds like you have mental problems, man.
Many.
Yeah, you have mental problems, man.
Yeah, it really does,
man.
Mental problems, many, many. Funny man Patton Oswalt will be in the studio.
Oh, he's the very best.
Talking about his movie Seeking a Friend for the End of the World.
Mm-hmm.
We also have our bald hour, the 8 o'clock hour, is Dana White. Talking about upcoming UFC fights. And Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins.
That is our bald hour.
That's right. We have comedian Bob Saget. We have Would You Like to Take That Back? We have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. We have Movie Beat. We have Travis Pastrana talking X Games.
Oh, my gosh.
And best of all?
And best of all?
No Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Correct. That was a little rough yesterday. Just a little.
Well, she didn't think you were funny.
I'm sure she's delightful on all other interviews.
Huh? We'll take a break and come back with the showbiz beat. 106.7 K-Rock and KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 551. How about some new music from The Offspring?
Boo!
Sitting here playing their old music all the time, for God's sakes. How about some new stuff?
How about Tuesday? Boo! Tuesday is what? When the new Offspring album comes out. Yeah, Tuesday.
Oh.
And apparently we're going to be talking to Dexter Holland about that, and apparently they have a special event that is happening that day for Offspring fans in Huntington Beach that we are going to be unveiling at that time.
For right, Offspring fans of Huntington Beach.
Isn't this great? Tuesday.
Isn't this great?
Bean's
on Bean drugs.
Is Kevin. Now I got two Kevins.
I
great.
Love it.
Oh. No, but Kevin is sharp today.
A little sharper than you, but not much, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, it's no
like
good.
It's like Freaky Friday. You guys have swapped bodies.
I don't
personalities are each other's bodies.
I don't care for it. I don't like it. I don't think I could ever be a drug addict. I don't think I like the way it
I'd
feels.
I prefer it. Well, give it a shot. It's your first day.
Just started.
Let it grow on you. You can't make a life change like that overnight.
Friday morning, 5:51. Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Before I beat you with showbiz, I'm going to give you tickets. I've got passes to the red carpet premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yay!
It's happening at the Regency Village Theater in Westwood on Thursday, June the 28th. The movie's in theaters everywhere, July the 3rd, but you'll have seen it by then when all your friends are talking about going to see Spider-Man. You're like, no, I think I'm just going to have sex with a hot chick because I already saw Spider-Man. So you go about your business, boys and girls.
Wait, the people who are winning these tickets you think are also having sex with hot chicks?
How dare you? Listen, druggie, I don't want to hear from you. You know, they're not doing sitting in their homes taking drugs like other people.
Right, but have you heard the crowd we've spoken with this week on the phone, Ralph?
I have nothing but utmost confidence.
In Bean's drug haze, he is right on, my friend.
No, he's not. Anyway, here's my trivia question. I want to give it to hardcore Spidey fans to make sure they get these tickets. If you're the first one to get through and answer the trivia question at 1-800-520-1067, you will win a pair of passes to the red carpet premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man. Spider-Man, of course, is a high school student in the beginning tales of his career. In this particular film, they are resetting the Spider-Man legend, so you will see Andrew Garfield play Peter Parker as a high school student. But in the comics, he got older and he moved on to higher learning. What university did Peter Parker go to? What school did Peter Parker go to college?
How disappointing was that question?
1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First person gets through, boom!
Just tickets. Like that. Boom!
Can I get this screen on so I can see when someone wins the tickets, whatever?
Sure.
I got nothing going on over here. Oh, thank you so much.
Muggs is on drugs today.
He's good. Everyone's top of their game today.
Muggs just arrived,
looking
Ralph. Just
very,
so you know.
Looking very forward to this show.
It's going
to
go well.
Should be good times. I'm a little foggy myself because last night was the red carpet premiere for Ted.
How did it go?
At the Grandma's Chinese Theater there at Hollywood and Highland. We had a great time last night. I want to thank Dave the King of Mexico and Aisa and the rest of the boys and girls from the station who came out to support and had a good time at the party as I was, eating sliders with John Voight, at the after party.
Is that code?
No, I was hanging out with John
Voight. You were actually eating sliders with
John Voight. You know me, Voight. Me and Voight are tight.
Sure.
But the reason I bring it up is because Giovanni Ribisi, of course, is in the film. And congratulations to him. He got married last weekend to the British supermodel turned actress Agnes Dane.
But we didn't hear about
she's not ugly.
We didn't hear about this for 2 full years. How does that happen with a celebrity? Where they destroy us with information about their wedding before they finally get married.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
The reason I paused is because it is a surprise to everyone because no one knew they were dating.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Even better.
I thought maybe you did. Maybe you had some inside scoop.
No, I just know every celebrity wedding is what you get inundated with.
Yeah, people didn't even know they were dating, and they announced that they were married last weekend.
That's funny.
He has been married once before. He has a daughter with his ex-wife, Mariah, who he's married to for 4 years, beginning in 1997. Agnes has never been married, but she did date Strokes guitarist Albert Hammond Jr. for a year or so. And apparently Giovanni and Agnes are very happy, so congratulations. Yeah, she is not unattractive, by the way. She's one of those little pixie kind of girls. She's got like a real short, bleached blonde pixie hairdo, but she's beautiful. And
Agnes is not a hot name.
No, it isn't, but she spells it in a very sexy way. A-G-Y-N-E-S-S.
No.
No! Why don't we... Why don't we have to hate on her like we do everybody else that spells it ridiculous, right? Even though she's hot.
But if you look at her, you say, well, yeah, okay, she couldn't be just regular Agnes. Okay. She's got to be sort of exotic Agnes.
Because a regular Agnes has to be your great aunt or great grandmother or something.
Maybe it's making a comeback.
All right.
You'll see a lot of new crop of Agneses.
She's hot. That'll help.
It will. John Travolta, another day, another lawsuit. Mm. He and his attorney have been sued for libel by an author named Robert Randolph, who was the author of a book entitled You'll Never Spa in This Town Again. Robert Randolph makes claims in the book that in 2007 he saw John Travolta at a spa trolling for sexual
favors. I don't know. I can't answer that. Happened again. Grab the other mic.
Switch microphones.
Right while you were talking.
Cut out right in the middle.
Good
that
times.
Was very strange. Here we go.
That was going to be a good story, too. That was juicy.
It was juicy.
Yeah.
This author, Robert Randolph, claims in 2007 he saw John Travolta trolling for sexual favors at a spa here in Los Angeles while he left his son, Jet, out in the car with the nanny.
At least really?
I hope he cracked the window.
The nanny was pounding.
Got her a bowl of water or something. Yeah. Anyway, Randolph claims that Travolta and his attorney have been spreading the rumor in this town that he has mental health problems to harm his book sales. So he is suing them for libel. Travolta's attorney says the lawsuit is absurd. That guy's crazy, he said. No, I'm kidding. Because that's what he's suing about. James Marsden from X-Men and 30 Rock. He plays Liz Lemon's boyfriend on 30 Rock. He is expecting a baby with his girlfriend, Brazilian model Rose Costa.
All right.
I don't know if you're familiar with Rose.
Very,
or not, but,
very, very familiar.
She does good work. He just got divorced from his wife last October, and now he's knocked up his supermodel girlfriend. He, for the record, he's 38. She's 24, by the way. That's not a bad deal. And this makes me happy. We were talking about this yesterday in the office, but we haven't talked about it much on air, about this Karen Klein. The 68-year-old bus monitor lady who had to put up with a shocking amount of abuse from these
the fat one?
Little rat bastard middle school kids that she's on the bus with in New York City.
Or harassing her, calling her name.
Karen's job is to monitor this bus for a fairly high-level, high-profile middle school in New York. These kids are not hood rats, you know? These are high-end, academically accomplished kids who are just dicks.
Yeah.
And the kids were tormenting this poor old woman and then videotaping it.
Fatty, 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 fatty.
Mocking her looks, her weight, the fact that she's deaf in one ear, she's got a hearing aid. I mean,
it's ugly.
It is brutal. Makes you kind of lose faith in humanity when you see these kids being able to be this cruel to an old woman. Well, the good news is someone took that YouTube video and started an online fundraising effort this week to try to raise some money to send Karen on a little vacation. She only makes like 18 grand a year or something like that. This guy was so moved by the footage and so disturbed by it, he wanted to see if he could go to one of these crowd fundraising sites.
Right.
And see if he could get people to donate money and raise $5,000. To send this woman on a vacation so she get away from her horrible life. Can you imagine
That's
this going
cool.
on every day of
oh,
your life?
Oh, my God,
and you
got
to get up and go to work, and you're expecting this? You gotta,
and she's got
to
go.
She
and you said she's a widow.
Yeah.
So she's...
Wow.
Her son had committed suicide. I mean, just a tragic life this woman had. But you imagine getting up in the morning and dragging your ass to work knowing what's waiting for you, that's going to happen every day when you get on this bus. It's like being a kid for your whole life. It's like being one of those kids who's bullied on the school bus, but now you're 68 years old and you're still getting it.
And you can't hit them.
Right. Although I would like to kneecap.
If you're a kid, at least
kids.
You could hit them.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the fundraising effort kicked off this week. They were trying to raise $5,000. As of this morning, it is a little over $460,000 in donations.
Wow!
Maybe she'll never have to do that crappy job
again. If it's $18,000 a year, she won't.
Can't she retire
yes.
from that? Wouldn't you think?
Wow!
That's awesome.
The story has gone viral. It has got an enormous amount of news coverage. Nationally, she has been on most of the talk shows. Ellen DeGeneres tweeted about it. Piers Morgan tweeted about it. anyway, she said that she is going to take her whole family on a Disney cruise, and then she'll decide what to do with the rest of the money. They're still trying to work out the tax situation for her because she might have to pay taxes on it. But
she's going
to
take taekwondo and go back and find those kids.
Wouldn't that be the best? Anyway, it's a heartwarming story to see where people were so touched by her plight that they decided to at least... Look, nothing's going to take the emotional pain away from what she's been subjected to. But a little cash doesn't hurt, so maybe she can go on a nice vacation.
And those kids should be suspended.
Yeah, and they know who the kids are too. Yeah, I mean,
they really need to, for God's sake, have consequences for that.
They should be cartoon deathed is what they should be. Yeah. They should be on a bus that goes across like a bridge, and then there's a big gaping hole in the bridge, and they look at each other and go, and the bridge just plummets, and there's like a cloud outline of the bus.
The bus just freezes in the air for
just
a second.
Floats for a second. And they go, pew! And then the bus goes, but their heads stay there, and the necks get really long, and their heads follow once they go down into a giant ravine. And then you just watch, you see the bus, and then at the very bottom of this real long, you go, you just see this little puff of smoke.
Yep.
At the bottom.
Perfect.
Great. Julio, I think, has the answer to my trivia question on line 4. Julio?
Yes?
Where did Peter Parker go to college?
Empire State University.
ESU, that's right. Congratulations. Hold on, we're going to give you tickets. You're going to see the red carpet premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Sweet.
Which guy friend are you bringing?
Stop it. Julio, do you have a girlfriend? The answer is yes, Julio. The answer is yes.
Stop asking that.
That's so great.
Things have cooled down a little bit. Is that what you said?
It doesn't.
No, the phone's hanging out a little bit.
The phone cut out.
Cutting out.
Yeah.
Sorry about
that.
Uh-huh.
Excellent idea.
You hold on, which I'm sure you're going to be able to do to get the prize.
Hold on, Julio. We're going to give you all the details. Thanks, man.
We are, for this week of Spider-Man giveaways, at 100% for dudes, though. We didn't have a single exception.
Well, I will do. I'll do a ladies. I'll do a
you
ladies call
to
next
do
hour.
That.
I'll
if
do.
They,
I'll
if
do
they're
ladies
big
night.
Fans, they'll get through.
I will do next hour. During the showbiz beat, only ladies.
You know, it's funny because all of our other giveaways, we don't specify, and we get both for anything else.
All the ladies. Hey, ladies.
I'm keeping track this week of what we've learned. Women aren't funny. Women don't want to go to Spider-Man. Those are the two things I got.
They do want to go.
They are funny, first of all. That's an
anecdotal. And they do want to see Spider-Man. Drug addict. Today's celebrity birthday is Kris Kristofferson, 76 years old today. Actress Meryl Streep turned 63. Cyndi Lauper is 59 years old. Bruce Campbell, one of my favorites, is 54. Mike Edwards of Jesus Jones is 48 years old. Stephen Page, formerly of the Bare Naked Ladies, turns 42. Carson Daly, our buddy Carson Daly. I'm going to go down the hall and I'm going to wish him a happy birthday. He's 39.
Would you Gatorade him today while he's on the air?
I think I will. Chris Traynor, guitarist for Helmet, is 39. And actor Donald Faison is 38. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Yeah, we got some Foster the People for you this hour. Also, Rise Against, but more importantly, ladies and gentlemen, Local H coming up next.
That's right.
Local H on the Kevin and Bean Show in June of 2012. Stick around.
Apparently, I called the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO.
Yep, forgot what I was going to say.
One of your people.
I can't tell you how many times I walk out of the studio, walk into the office, and just stand there and go, I came here for a reason. When I figure it out, I'll come back.
Yep.
I just downloaded a podcast for Thursday's show, and I wanted to let you guys know that show really sucked. Not that great.
Thursdays. I can't remember back then.
A lot happened Thursday.
That was yesterday. Yesterday was a rough day. I apologized on Twitter for yesterday's show, Lisa.
Did you?
I did. I said, I think I agree with you people. Today's show wasn't very good. But tomorrow, Redemption with Billy Corgan and Patton Oswalt. We can't go wrong for today's show. I think we're going to be fine today.
Hey, Kevin and Dean. I just wanted to share with you the world's fastest giggity. Here I go.
Right, you know what we're talking about? Giggity, giggity from
Family Guy?
All right, Bean, your turn.
I can't compete, but I don't know what the point is of the world's fastest giggity. I don't know what that gets you.
Well, it's just his bar trick.
Look, everybody's got a talent.
Right.
Maybe that's his only one. Who knows?
You moron.
What?
Keep saying TMZ without the boom, boom, boom sound effect. I need the boom, boom, boom. I need the boom, boom, boom. Damn it.
Sorry it was late.
Yes, my relatives did own Macy's. Is this why Regina Rosenblatt tried to run me over twice?
All right. Now,
she's back.
Yes.
Does that not make sense to you listeners?
Of course not.
Because she crazy and she calls every once in a while. We have no idea what she's talking about. I love her so much.
F you, beer mug.
Agreed.
All right.
I like that kind of short, sweet, to the point. Very nice. Knew what he was going to say. Said it well. Remember the high-speed chase guy that caused an accident, ran into four cars, and then they asked him why he did it?
I am Barton Asnayan, and I got swag.
Where are you from?
I'm from Hollywood, California, Yerevan.
And why'd you lead cops on this chase?
Because I got swag. I wanted to make it look good.
My name is Kevin, and I got swag. Hey, Kevin, do you take drugs or alcohol? What do you mean, take alcohol?
The guy did go on to ask, what is drugs?
Yes.
Which was one of my favorite things. This guy has many, many requests.
As much as I hated when Psycho Mike would always go, oh, in the background, it doesn't come close to how much I hate it when Beer Mug goes, yeah, in the background. I want to kill everybody when I hear that.
Everybody.
Please do whatever you can to bring back Psycho Mike. Right. And then, when you get him back, put him in Beer Mug, both in a barrel, throw it over a waterfall, and bring back Jimmy.
Jimmy may be otherwise engaged.
Yeah. Yes.
And that might be a tough sell.
I don't think we could make him an offer he can't refuse. Remember when we were doing Bean's tweets? And one of Bean's tweets, not kidding, was, made you look.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of his tweets.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Bean, made you listen. Just die, Bean. Just die.
Made you look. Do you have that, the preacher who's against everything?
The Bible's against it. God's against it. I'm against it. And if you've got any sense, you're against it.
Who is this Bean and why is he on the radio? Kevin's against him. Ralph's against him. I'm against him. And if you've got any sense, you're against him.
Pretty good impression. Not bad, right?
Yeah.
And finally, a ongoing battle off the air is that Bean can multitask more than most people. For some reason, he's got his microphone right on his mouse, though. They're within half an inch. So it's click, 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 click.
Holy s***! Stop the clicking! It's a bitch! I don't want to hear you breathing!
Wow.
Another satisfied
customer. A lot of hate today.
Another satisfied customer. It's all
I'll
hate.
Keep doing what I'm doing. Thank
this
you,
has sir. Turned into the hate line. We're just going to change the name of it. 323-520-AFRO. Stick around. We got the movie beat. You are listening to the world famous K-Rock World of 106.7 KROQ. That's a strange ending, right?
No, it's good. Good.
We're going to talk X Games with our friend Travis Pastrana coming up next hour, and the great Bob Saget. Saget joins us coming up in a few minutes here on the Kevin DeMeade Show. First, though, it's Friday. It's time for the movie.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Hey, party people. There's a lot of movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend you're going to want to check out. Let's take a look at some of them. Woody Allen is continuing to write letters to cities around the world. Of course, he was known as a New York filmmaker for so many years, but now he's turning his attention to Europe. He wrote a little love letter to Paris with Midnight in Paris, of course, his Oscar-nominated film, and now it continues with Rome. Into Rome with Love, his new film. It's a story about a number of people in Italy, some Americans, some Italians, some residents, some visitors. The romances and the adventures and predicaments they get into. It is quintessential Woody Allen, and quintessentially he's got a great cast. Penelope Cruz, Jesse Eisenberg, Ellen Page, Alec Baldwin, Woody Allen himself. Looks like a very funny film. Here are some clips from the trailer from To Rome with Love.
I lived in Rome for a year when I was your age. Huh. This might have been my exact street.
Come on in, my girlfriend makes great espresso.
My friend just broke up with her boyfriend. I told her she could stay with us.
I always had a little yen for sleeping with a woman. And when I finally did it, it was incredible.
She's something, isn't she?
I don't want to do it here.
If you're going to screw your best friend's boyfriend, does it really matter what the venue is?
You will never understand women.
That's been proven.
Isn't it nice to be someplace of pleasure?
No.
All right.
Woody doesn't like pleasure.
Woody, by the way, who's made almost 50 movies now. I read the other day, Ralph,
and you probably know this, has made a movie a year without exception since 1982.
Yeah, every year he makes one.
30 years in a row he's made a new movie.
He writes them on legal pads, by the way.
Does he really?
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Yeah, and doesn't use email.
Brave also opens up this weekend. This is the animated film about a young girl who's determined to make her own path in life. Princess Merida defies the custom that brings chaos to her kingdom. Granted one wish, she must rely on her bravery and her archery skills to undo a beastly curse. This is a Disney film in the truest sense. You've got Billy Connolly, who is one of my favorite actors, as one of the voices in this. Emma Thompson also in this film at all. Here are some clips from the trailer of the animated film Brave.
Places, everyone. Each of the firstborn must compete for the hand of the fair maiden. I'll be shooting for my own hand.
What became of this precious daughter I once knew?
I want a spell that changes my fate.
Done.
What's the worst that can happen?
Where is the queen?
This means war!
Not think that goes well.
It's animated for a new generation of little girls who don't need princes to save them anymore. They're out there kicking their own ass. Good for them. Seeking a friend for the end of the world. How good does this look, by
Looks
the
great.
Way?
I Steve love Steve
Carell.
Carell,
me too. I'm a big Keira Knightley fan. Connie Britton's in this. Adam Brody. Our buddy Patton Oswalt also stops by. An asteroid is coming to Earth. It's all over for everybody. And a man finds himself alone. And he decides to take a road trip to reunite with his high school sweetheart with the last remaining few weeks they all have on the planet. Accompanying him is a neighbor, Keira Knightley, who inadvertently puts a monkey wrench in his plans. Looks very funny, very touching, seeking a friend for the end of the world. Here's Keira Knightley, determined to help Steve Carell find his old high school girlfriend.
What are you doing? Penny, this really doesn't involve you.
I said I was going to get you there. I'm going to get you there. So where was the last place you saw her?
Where was she 18 years ago? Look, you don't need to spend the last few days of your life with a total stranger.
You're not a total stranger, and these aren't my last days.
Oh, you're a survivalist.
No, I'm not a survivalist. I'm an optimist. Hello.
You having some trouble?
Do you know where the nearest gas station is?
Yeah, but diesel's all they got left. Where are you headed?
Where are we headed, Dodge?
I like Keira Knightley's cute.
Yeah. I do, too.
She is.
And Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter opens up this weekend.
That's what I'm talking about.
Benjamin Walker, Dominic Cooper. Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Abraham Lincoln, of course, our 16th president. He has more than just a stovepipe hat and an Amish beard. There's more behind him than just what we knew. Apparently, his whole life, his whole young life, he's been battling vampires on our behalf.
What a great greater president. Man than we even realized.
That's right. Yeah, once he discovers the vampires are planning to take over the United States, he makes it his mission to eliminate them with his big axe, the rail splitter. Wields. Here's clips from the trailer of Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
47 years ago.
There is darkness everywhere, Mr. Lincoln.
It's time vampires had a nation of our own.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people. Shall not perish from the earth. From the earth. From the earth.
Love it.
What about the slaves, man?
Love it.
What about the slaves?
Took
Where are the
care
slaves
of that
in
already.
This? Where are the slaves in this?
Took care of that already.
Oh, I hope the slaves...
He hadn't yet. This is all
hadn't
before that.
Yet, I mean.
I hope the slaves kick some vampire ass, too. It'd be great to see some brothers out there taking out some vampires.
I'm with you, Ralph, though. If I was a black guy living in 1840 or something, I would be like, hey, Abe, a little help.
Yeah. A little less about the vampires, Abe. A little more about get me out of these chains. How do you feel about that? Where's Abraham Lincoln slave freer? Where's that movie?
These Adidas are getting tight.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie.
I'm very disturbed by this story. I guess there's a happy ending and that they're trying to rehabilitate.
We don't know that it's going to land on this story.
What
you go
story?
Back to the end of the song.
What the hell is going on?
I may not make it till the end of today's show.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. There are a lot of stories that we don't have time to get to, including the one Bean was starting to tell you about. We've got the giant Indian jumping death spiders.
Ooh. Oh, I hope it lands on that one. That's the one I'm excited about.
We've got Houdini, the Australian runaway goat. We've got the albino cyclops shark. We've got the doomsday prepper survival kitty. We have the Ukrainian drunk bears in rehab.
Never heard of that one.
We have the Icelandic worm monster. Tornado kitchen. Florence, the shark that went vegetarian. We got a bunch of stories on here. We're going to spin the wheel, and then we'll find out some more information about whichever it happens to land on.
It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
We'll know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices.
The Icelandic worm monster.
The Ukrainian drunk bears in rehab.
Oh, what a surprise.
Are you serious?
How about that?
What's the story, Kevin?
What is the story? Bean's very upset about this story.
Well, I am because, fortunately, the United States, I believe, leads the world in animal care and not doing stupid things like they've been doing in the former Soviet Union and now other places in the former Soviet Union where they basically get bears drunk to dance for your amusement. They literally feed them alcohol just because they think it's funny to watch them. And that's such a horrible, cruel way to treat an animal.
But now they're doing the Euro 2012, which is a huge soccer tournament in Poland, and the Ukraine are hosting it. So they rounded up these alcoholic bears and sent them to bear rehab.
Apparently, well, that seems like a good idea.
There's a rehab to get the bears off of the vodka and the different alcohol that they've been drinking. Moonshine, whatever they've been given.
Oh, man.
So we thought we would call and find out a little bit more information. I believe we have the rehab on the line. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Bruno.
Bruno.
Hi, Bruno. How are you?
How are you doing today?
Not good.
I think I'm drunker than the bears are today.
Hey, but maybe you should go to rehab with me.
Do you have a spot for Bean?
We always have room for extra rehab patients here. Come on, join me. We'll put you in the cage. We'll get you up whatever it is you need to kick.
So these bears are actually alcoholics, and you go through rehab just like you would for a human.
This is, BS.
BS.
What?
Yes.
It's not true?
No, it's true, but being a bear in rehab is, tough as balls.
Well, what do you mean by that? I mean, I would imagine there are physical symptoms from the withdrawal,
well,
but what else?
You say it's not good for animals to drink.
Right.
Right.
For amusement of peoples.
Right. What? I don't understand.
It's not cruel to make a bear like myself drink. It's cruel to stop drinking.
Oh, you're a bear.
What?
Are you a bear?
Well, hell, it's the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. What'd you think it was?
Well, I couldn't tell. Sound like you're doing a human voice. I didn't know.
As opposed to what kind of voice would you want me to do? You want me to talk like a bear?
Well, I thought you would sound bearish.
What?
We'll straighten this out. We'll straighten this out when we get on the air. Don't worry about it. Every time we
do this goddamn bit, it's always the animal that answers the phone. Today, you're surprised?
Maybe Kevin's been doing some drinking as well.
What the hell?
All right, so Bruno, so you're a bear, and you're saying that you would prefer it if they would just let you drink. That's more fun for you, the animal.
Never mind. Come on, Ralph. We're doing our best.
I'm not talking to any of you.
We're doing our best.
No, you're not.
Guys, this
you're not.
Is just the rehearsal hour. This isn't even on the air. The show didn't even start till 7, okay? We're going to be fine. Once we hit the air, all the bugs will be worked out, okay?
First of all, Vibrabelt over here puts the test on the air.
That happened.
Then Drug Addict
that happened.
Screws up the intro.
Uh-huh,
then you right. don't even know how the bit, what the bit is or how it works.
I was a little confused, if that's what you're saying.
Because we've only done it 400 times. A bit I hate doing in the first place.
Right.
Then you're gonna just slit its throat right in the middle of the bit.
Well, you should be happy then. If I slit its throat, you should be happy with
no,
me.
No, not when the blood gets all over me.
Okay.
It sounds like there should be some sort of vacation looming. That's what's needed.
Listen, we have Travis Pastrana coming up. We have Would You Like to Take That Back, and we would like to take that whole last half hour back.
Yes.
We have Dana White, and we have Billy Corgan coming in.
Wow. So it's sort of out of your hands now, is what you're saying.
Playing live. So we've screwed up as much as we can.
I weep for our guests. That's all I'm telling you.
No, it's going to be good.
Because I deserve this, because I signed up for it. They don't know what's coming. They're the innocent victims.
We are going to pull this car right out of the ditch. It's going to be a lucky turn of the wheel, and we're going to find ourselves out of the mud and back on the road. It's going to be great.
Yeah, you know what happens when you swerve to miss a cow?
Yeah. 6:52, Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat, and I'm sure this will be flawless and error-free.
I hope so. Kevin Durant, poor bastard. It's bad enough that he lost the NBA title last night.
Fat.
Oh, come on. How are you going to come a Durantula like that? That's his nickname, by the way, Durantula.
Love it.
Now he is one lawsuit away from losing that as well.
What?
Yeah. There's a guitarist named Kevin Durante, who apparently was a big deal in the 80s. He played with Public Enemy, The Aliens, The Next Big Thing. He claims that Durantula is his on-stage and performance persona. He has adopted the name and used it to market music, recordings, T-shirts, guitars, and related merchandise. So he has slapped a lawsuit against Kevin Durant, an injunction to keep him from using the nickname Durantula for the remainder of his career.
Sounds like he's got the winning case.
It does sound like it, because he did register the Durantula trademark. So he's suing for damages and an injunction. Kevin has been signing Durantula on basketballs that are for sale on his website. Apparently Nike has used the nickname to launch a shoe campaign. So bad times for Kevin Durant.
Hey, I got ripped off of Brangelina. Remember all those years I called myself Brangelina, and then they come along and steal it from me?
I don't think that happened
at all.
Didn't
happen at all.
While we're talking about Brangelina, however, this guy is my favorite. He claims to be Angelina Jolie's cousin. Calls himself Jonathan Jolie.
Okay.
And he put a lawsuit in the courts this week. He was suing Angelina and Brad Pitt and John Travolta.
Why?
Well, according to the paperwork he filed with a judge, he was on a mission from God.
Okay.
To stop Brad Pitt from becoming a Scientologist. But he claims he went to stop that from happening, and Scientology found him, hogtied him up. This is including Brad Pitt, John Travolta, and Angelina Jolie, and threw him in the Gulf of Mexico. He also claims that Brad and John are lovers in disguise, and that he needs to battle Brad Pitt to the death in order to save him from Scientology, because Pope Benedict sent him to Florida to stop this from happening. He said, "You can't find me right now because I'm hiding out in the Italian embassy in New York City. I need a restraining order against John Travolta and Brad Pitt because they are after me and the entire Church of Scientology."
Hey, so that's a pretty reasonable reaction, huh?
A judge dismissed his case.
Good. Immediately. Right after God told me, he said, dismissed.
Somebody crazier than the Church of Scientology.
Look, I'm no defender of the Church of Scientology. I'll start with that, but this sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a nutty case. I love crazy people.
I do too.
This is getting more exciting by the minute. You know, David Mamet's play, Glengarry Glen Ross, you may have seen the film version.
Oh, yeah.
With Al Pacino.
I didn't, but I feel like Ricky everyone Roma. That I know has.
Brutal.
How have you not seen that film?
I don't know. I just, you know me.
You would love it so much.
It's brilliant. And some of the greatest dialogue ever in a movie, because it was a great play first, and then it became the movie. But, you know, coffee's for closers, always be closing, get them to sign on the line, which is dot. I mean, Alec Baldwin's scene alone is worth seeing the film. Al Pacino played Ricky Roma, this sort of fast-talking hotshot of the office in the film. He is reprising his work, not in that role, but he is coming back on stage on Broadway to do the play in the role that Jack Lemmon played. They've just announced today who Ricky Roma will be played alongside of him on stage, Bobby Cannavale.
Oh.
Who you know is one of my favorites. He was on Nurse Jackie. He played Dr. Mike Cruz, who took over the hospital this season.
Yes.
Brilliant actor. He's going to be playing the Ricky Roma role. So this all starts in October, and then the show opens on Broadway on November the 11th. So
I have some of the, no joke, Ralph, have some of the Alec Baldwin from Glengarry if you want to hear, if you're in the mood for it.
I love it.
Because I think he's great. I think he's brilliant.
We're adding a little something to this month's sales contest. As you all know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize is a set of steak knives. Third prize is your fire.
I mean, that's how tough this dude
is.
Wow.
Yeah. That's their sales incentive program.
So if you're fourth, you're fine.
No, third, Kevin, I think fired. You're missing the point. Oh. I think you're missing the point.
And by the way, did you mention Jack Lemmon with one of the greatest screen performances in movie history in that film?
Yeah, play Shelley Devine in that film.
Oh, my God.
And that's the role Pacino's going to be playing on stage. So
heartbreaking.
Good times. More casting news. Robert Rodriguez is doing Machete, the sequel, Machete Kills.
Really? This time he's going to kill?
This time he kills, yeah. The sequel's called Machete Kills. And just announced he has cast the role of the President of the United States. Charlie Sheen will be playing the President of the United States, in Machete Kills.
Really?
No. No.
But it's Robert Rodriguez.
And he thrives on bringing actors like Tarantino. He loves to bring actors who are struggling or whatever and making them and reinventing them.
If it wasn't him, that would make me be out.
Yeah, the actors who struggle because they screwed up, that's a whole nother category.
First Machete, he brought Don Johnson in to play the sheriff. Remember that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
I think I'm still in.
Charlie Sheen as the President of the United States.
This is Machete.
Here's the rest of the cast. Jessica Alba, Mel Gibson, Sofia Vergara, Zoe Saldana, and Amber Heard.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a babe fest.
I could not be more in.
Plus, Martin Sheen was the president. So now Charlie Sheen's the president. It's like the Bushes.
Yeah.
But not Emilio. He never gets to be president.
He never
gets
to be president. He just has to stay governor of Florida. Take a look today, celebrity birthdays. I know I said I'd give away Spider-Man tickets. I'll do that in the next hour, so come back in the next hour. I'm just too flustered from that Wheel of Bad Animal Voices debacle to pull it together right now. Ladies, next hour, by the way. All the ladies. Ladies calling.
Okay.
I'm just going to fill up the phone lines with ladies.
Well, you're going to get a call, maybe.
And then I'll play like an audio clue or something, and you'll be surprised how the girls will answer it.
All right.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kris Kristofferson, 76 years old. Meryl Streep is 63. Cyndi Lauper celebrates her 59th birthday. Bruce Campbell turns 54. Stephen Page, formerly of the Bare Naked Ladies, is 42 years old. Carson Daly's 39. Donald Faison from Scrubs celebrates his 38th birthday. Chris Traynor of Helmet is 39 as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are now about to witness the strength of Bob Saget.
You love the damn Full House, right? I did so much family television, I have Tourette's now. You know what I'd like to do now? I'd like to put a shoebox on my lap and give you a puppet show. My dad's like, if your mom and I are having sex and we videotape it and she falls out of bed funny, can I win $10,000? The Backstreet Boys, they're awesome. And they are back and they are street and they are boys and they are men. And they rock my world. Actually, name dropping is bullshit. It really is. Quentin Tarantino told me that. He said, name dropping is bullshit. And I said, you're right, Quentin. And we were up all night and Tribeca was off the hizzle.
Bob Saget. Full House.
Marijuana's not a drug. I used to for coke.
Saget, you rock. You for coke.
Agree with everybody. Everybody just said Bob Saget, ladies and gentlemen, is on the phone and on stage next weekend. Bob is going to be appearing at the Irvine Improv Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the weekend of June 29th. How are you, Bob?
I'm really good. I need an MP3 of that for my doorbell.
Yeah, yes,
and your your ringtone as well.
Yeah, exactly. And anything. It'd be confusing though, because so many people are going to have it, they'll think I'm there.
two things I want to ask you about, because you've been a busy guy since the last time we had you on. First of all, you participated in that Mike McDonald charity thing, the guy who needs the liver transplant. It's unbelievable. I'm always impressed how many of you comedian types give up your evenings to go out and raise money for charity. I think people would be surprised how much free stuff you do.
I think it's amazing that that so many comedians have nowhere else to go.
Oh, is that it?
Well, maybe that's what it is.
I'm not seeing anything that night.
None of them are a good donor for anyone, for anybody. But here, would you like a piece of this liver? It's rotted. Let's try to save one of our own.
Yeah, especially livers. Those are shot by about the time you're 20, right? So you can't do anything with that.
I thought it was for Norm MacDonald, so I went there.
Did you leave, or did you go ahead and do your set?
I did my set. It was very beautiful, and Mike McDonald was a very funny guy. He is a very funny guy. And so everybody just, and I just known him since I'm like 22 in Canada.
Wow, that's great. And the other thing that you did, I'm serious. I'm complimenting.
That's just great.
That's great.
I just am impressed. That's all. But the other thing is the thing that blew me away that I did not know about until recently. You sang the national anthem at a Major League Baseball game at U.S. Cellular in front of the White Sox. How on earth
Did they get down far enough on the list that they're asking Bob Saget to sing the anthem?
They went to the bottom, and then the bottom guy was a homeless guy that passed out.
Oh, that's so bad.
They got us both hot dogs. He revived, and I went to the mic.
Can you sing?
He could not. But
Can you sing?
I sing in my stand-up, you know. I do, even at your big
level. Yeah, with your
show.
Guitar, yeah. But that national anthem's a whole different level of singing.
Yeah, that's all actual singing is required.
Yes.
I actually practiced it a bunch in the showers with the White Sox guys, and they snapped me with their towels.
Sweet.
And they disciplined me, and they like gladiator movies. So.
Look, you've been on lots of stages all over the world in front of many thousands of people. But, I mean, you go to a White Sox game, and it's what? 40,000 or something standing there staring at you, right?
My own White Sox were dark, a whiter shade. They were black and red when I was done. But it was a really nice thing. They originally wanted me to throw out the first pitch, and Snoop Dogg had thrown it out a couple days before, and he did pretty well, but other people I know had thrown it to the dirt. And I was not about to throw like a girl. And for me to throw in front of that many people, it is like a girl. I wear a dress, and I skip.
Yeah. Bob, I've done it twice and thrown it in the dirt both times, and I fell the second time.
So yeah, that's always good.
You made the right decision.
I did a celebrity game once at Dodger Stadium, and I got an RBI, got to first base, but I ended up with turf toe, so my nail came off. So I had no toe for about 6 months, so rather than turn into one of E.T.'s friends this time, I decided to actually do it because I love the damn song, because it's a nice, inspirational song, and I thought I could hit the notes, and I kind of did. I didn't bomb. I didn't grab my crotch. I didn't make a joke out of it.
You were fine. I saw the video on YouTube, and I was first of all, shocked that it ever happened. No offense to you, but you're just not known as a singer. And B, the fact that you pulled it off so well as an amateur, I was impressed with. Now, are you enough of a baseball fan that it was a big thrill for you to walk out to the mound and look around and see all those players standing there?
Yes, and it is a gateway to stronger baseball I'm narcotics.
Uh-oh.
They want me to sing this seventh-inning stretch at Wrigley Field. So I went, wow, this audition really paid off. I'm on to the bonus round. Pretty soon I'll be selling peanuts in Oakland.
You're going to be that guy that does the national anthem in every park.
You know what? Maybe I'll just be a mascot so I can just act like everybody else.
I like it.
To keep myself covered. And I got to thank you guys. I had a wonderful time at your April Foolishness. That was a very nice time.
Oh, please. Well, are you kidding? Like it was a thrill for us.
Like Bean mentioned before, it's amazing how many people are willing to do charity events, you know, for no pay, and so all the proceeds can go to the great charities.
And, you know, even people like, and Brad Williams, who's a little man, after that was over, he is actually now 5'9".
Yes. Yes.
That's the only picture I still have from that night is you and Brad Williams and
was it Stamos?
Stamos.
Yeah. Stamos has his fear
of
small people.
Who's scared to death of small people. That was the best photo ever.
It's weird. He thinks he's scared of them like a black cat would cross your path. He's afraid someone will go into the Lollipop Guild, I guess.
And the one thing that we did notice, Bob, and please, no disrespect intended here, is that people see you and they run up to you and they're so excited to meet Bob Saget until they see you're standing next to John Stamos, and then all of a sudden they forget about you.
They just shift and they go right to his hairline and they want to mount his tank top.
That's true. That happens.
He's got to stop dressing like Scott Baio did.
I seen it. It happened.
I seen it.
Bob,
that was
a lovely
thing, and I'm hitting stand-up harder now since I saw you guys, if that's even possible. So,
you're tremendous, too. Bob is going to be on stage at the Irvine Improv, not this weekend, but next, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 29th through July 1st. Tickets are only $25, which is a deal at Irvine Improv.
I pay the audience. That's amazing.
Wow,
yes,
excellent.
IrvineImprov.com. And then what's the deal? Just tell us briefly.
I go to do a special in July in Seattle, actually. So
at the Mora Theater in Seattle?
Yeah.
July 19th. I will not be there. Thank you, Bob. And so that's part of the reason you're hitting it so hard right now is you're just getting the act completely honed before you film it, right?
Yes, and the fact that I could even call it an act because it's such a stream of consciousness and nonsense. So,
Bob, just before you came on the air, off the air, I said to Bean, hey, he's taping his TV show in Seattle. And Bean said, yeah, I don't go to things.
This would be different. I would save you two things in the rafters. You could be like Phantom of the Opera. You could sing a Christine and you lower yourself on some kind of window washing rig.
I like it.
And I won't see you there.
Have a fantastic weekend this weekend and a great time in Irvine next weekend.
Thank
you know
you.
You're always welcome, Bob. It's great to catch
up. I know.
With
you guys are literally the best. And
no, you're the best.
You 20 years ago, you called my home number, and you
we
have
did?
It now. But 20 years ago, you randomly, one morning, and I think a video show was on the air, and you called me and said, hey, Bob, what are you doing this morning? And I said, I'm changing my number. What are you guys doing today? And I don't know how you got the number. But now you have it.
We have always.
Your friends and Kevin and I talk about going to breakfast. And
here's what happens. Every time Bob's in, he says, hey, let's go to breakfast. And I say, fine, you got my number? Yep, I got your number. And then he never calls.
I never call you. Yeah. And NB never comes to my shows in Seattle.
Well, so it all evens out.
I'm going to make this. I'm going to change it all. Don't. Take you to breakfast. I'm going to sing the national anthem
right
in your
face. I like it the way it is.
I think it's a perfect relationship as is, Bob. Thanks for calling, dude.
It's for most people. I agree.
Thank you, Bob.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good time.
Travis Pastrana, who admits he has the willingness and stupidity to try anything on a motorcycle. Pastrana flipping out of the gate. Oh, look at him. He's just showing the crowd. Superman Seeger on Indian Air to nose wheelie. He's revving it up. There it is, a Romeo Air. The first time it's been busted out of competition right here at the X Games. 6 foot two, beating up on the competition. Travis Pastrana on the Suzuki 125.
Pastrana, moments away from flying a car.
Travis Pastrana, your gold medalist once again here.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous. It's
embarrassment
crazy.
Of riches. That's what it is.
Supercross, motocross, freestyle, rally racing, NASCAR, the whole deal. 10-time gold medalist at the X Games. Travis Pastrana back here on the Kevin Devine Show. How are you, Travis?
Hey, yeah, doing great. Thanks a lot for having me back on, guys. You guys are really the reason. I mean, he called me a sissy if I didn't do the double, I guess, before in 2006.
That's right. I forgot we called you a sissy trying to goad you into it, and then you nailed it. So really, yeah. We're to thank. That's what you're saying.
Exactly. Thank you, guys. If I would have got killed, I would have been a little, I would have known nothing, but I would have been a little disappointed on that side.
Hopefully nobody would have remembered that if that would have happened.
Exactly. Well, it's great to have you back on. It is that most wonderful time of the year again as we're right around the corner from X Games Los Angeles 2012. You're competing in Rallycross on Sunday, July 1st. By the way, giving away a pair of tickets if you want to see Travis in person right now at 1-800-520-1067. You can win those. Buy them at xgames.com. How are you feeling about competition this year? What's it looking like?
Oh, really good, man. We actually have a lot of time this year to really prepare for the cars, which has been great. I mean, folks are mostly on the NASCAR program, but now kind of a team manager kind of with the new Dodge Dart and really been trying to get this. It's a brand new car, so had a little bit of trouble first couple races. Actually overjumped one of the big jumps at the second round in Texas and broke the car in half. So
sweet.
That wasn't good for the results.
How do you break a car in half? I've seen when you overjump, and it does seem to go terribly wrong, but you broke the car in half is sweet.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would have been good, but now as kind of a team manager, too, I mean, that it comes directly out of the back pocket. So, But no, the car was actually, it was really good. I just had a bright idea that I should try to show everyone what speed you should hit it, that my motorcycle skills were going to come into play. But as it turns out, I overestimated my ability there.
Now, the Rallycross, for those of you that haven't seen it, is not your basic cars race around and they don't touch anything and they end up pristine like they were. I mean, you hit sidewalls, you hit each other. A lot of times the steering breaks halfway. I mean, it's like bumper cars out there. It is one of the best events at X Games.
Yeah, I mean, you'll be side by side over an 80-foot foot jump and, a fairly standard it's got to be a street legal car, pretty much. But the Dodge Dart 0-60 in 2.8 seconds. So the things get up to speed, and it's pretty much a demolition derby. Some dirt, some pavement. X Games is a really cool course because you can. It's right downtown LA, right next to the Staples Center, and you go through the streets, which is pretty.
Does it make it more difficult the dirt to the street to the dirt to the street because of the wheels?
It does. Actually, that's where I kind of excel though. When everything's worst case scenario, that's where I do well. So that's X Games is my course. So the course is so far been a lot of pavement. Even the NASCAR stuff we've been doing, man, even on motorcycles, I have a hard time with pavement. I like sliding around a little bit more, and on pavement, it just burns off the tires. So I'm really looking forward to getting in there and showing everyone what this new car can do. So
Thursday night, June 28th, that's when the kickoff. Actually, Wednesday night is the kickoff, and then Thursday there's a bunch of stuff. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're talking the 28th through the 1st of July. I did want to ask you one question. We're running short on time. I apologize, Travis. But what about Nitro Circus? When's that coming back?
Oh, Nitro Circus Man. We've been shooting for the last 3 years. We've been shooting for a 3D movie, and finally got it all put together. We're actually having kind of a premiere, just you know, for the insiders. Not quite fully finished, but that'll be this Wednesday. So finally getting that thing out. And just, I mean, we all kind of, not that we had real jobs, but we kind of had to take a step back and stop being so broken off. And we got to our day job of racing motorcycles and cars and BMX and whatever the guys did in Nitro. So it's been an epic, epic, fun, scary, crazy experience. So that'll be in theaters August 10th, which is
fantastic.
I bet it has. It's funny because you mentioned how you have a real job. You have the kind of job where every waking minute you could go out there and practice and learn something and get prepared. I mean, it's almost impossible to know when to turn it off and just go, okay, I'm ready, right?
Well, that's the hard part. I mean, we took a school bus with 8 people in it and jumped it, you know, over 200 feet, over for a routine. So, I mean, you know, and the mathematics, other stuff, I'm sorry, I know you guys are in a hurry, but the math, they said we had to hit like 83 miles an hour and the bus would only get to 79.
Uh-huh.
And everyone started to get out, and we had one guy wheels, Aaron Fotheringham, is in a wheelchair, and he's like, I'm not getting out. He's like, driver, are you going? And Cam McQueen's like, yeah, I'm going anyway. He's like, well, what's the worst that can happen? I hit the line, I can walk again, and everyone else jumped back in the bus. And the thing actually, it's one of the few stunts that actually worked. So thanks to wheels, everyone jumped back in.
Travis, you are unbelievable. It's always so much fun to talk to you. We're very excited about the X Games getting underway here. And again, we'll be looking for you on that July 1st competing in Rallycross. Good luck to you, my friend. Thanks, as always, for coming on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
Dana White, president of the UFC, joins us just after the top of the hour this morning, and then it's been a long time, but Billy Corgan makes his return to the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll be talking to him all about his excellent new album called Oceania. That's on the way, but first, a little feature we like to call Would You Like to Take That Back?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back?
Look, we don't have writers per se. We just kind of make stuff up as we go, and it doesn't, and it sounds like it. And first of all, we'd like to take back the first half of today's show. The entire first half of today's
and
show.
And all of yesterday.
And all of yesterday, right. But we're going to take another shot. We're going to run a few air checks by ourselves and see if we really stand by the jokes that we made at one point.
Because rarely in life do you get a second chance. Here's our opportunity to get a second chance.
This is Bean talking, and then Ralph comes in with a hilarious joke, and we're going to ask him if he'd like to take it back.
How many times should you propose to a woman before you give up and accept that the answer is no? Once? Twice?
Three times a lady.
Five times? Maybe more?
File.
Come on! I'm going to ignore that and just keep powering forward with my fascinating question.
Would you like to take that back?
No way!
Nice. No!
No way!
Not only no, but no way.
No way. No wow. way with emphasis. Particularly because right. Bean's like, oh, I'm just going to ignore it. F you.
All right, Ralph's
doing dropped a big comedy bomb right there in the middle of the room. Everybody just looked the other way.
It was a dud, though. It didn't go
off.
It
was not a dud. It caused mass damage.
All right, now Ralph's doing a story, and Bean jumps in with his idea of a joke.
In TV news, Unforgettable, the Poppy Montgomery series that was canceled by CBS, may be getting a second life. TNT and Lifetime, apparently, are having conversations with the production company about bringing that show back to the air. Did anybody watch that show? I like Poppy Montgomery, but I did not watch that show.
I didn't watch it either, but I like the trend of these other channels picking them up.
I watched it, but don't remember it.
Really?
It's called Unforgettable. Mm. Come on, Kevin, keep up.
Oh, I kept up. See, Bean takes for granted that if we don't laugh, it's because we didn't get it.
Yeah, he's the M. Night Shyamalan of bad jokes.
Would you like to take that back?
I thought that was a little obvious. I'm not gonna be proud of that.
Okay,
I'm gonna
good.
Let that one go. I'll give that one back.
Because I was gonna go back and listen to it again and see how many times you tried to squeeze in that joke.
Oh, yeah.
He
had the shoehorn out. He was trying to put on size 9s, and he just would not be denied.
All right,
now I'm going to throw that one back in the pod.
Excellent. It's time for Ralph talking about Courtney Cox.
Would you like to take that back?
And that's not the clip. Here's the clip.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Jim Belushi's 58. Helen Hunt turns 49. Courtney Cox is 48 years old. Can you believe that?
No.
She looks great for 48.
Yes.
She's divorcing David Arquette this week. I hope they can still remain friends.
Oh, no, you did. Yes, he did.
Yeah, I did.
Would you like to take that back?
I'm not proud of that. I will take that one
Fantastic.
Back.
Okay. All right, so we got one taken back.
That was way too obvious.
This is me, Kevin.
Oh, really?
It's been a while since I thought about that that lady who perpetrated the Wendy's hoax. Remember, since she found her finger in the food, and she had bought a finger from somebody that she worked with who had lost a finger in some unrelated accident and took it to Wendy's and tried to claim that she found it in her chili. Remember? The reason I bring all that
That's
up
why
is
they
because,
call it finger foods, people. No. You know, my standing policy is I will take anything back.
Would you like to take that back?
I'm not
I don't
proud
know if
of
you
anything.
Have to.
I'm taking that one back.
On that one.
I think I am.
That was completely germane to the conversation.
This is Ralph, and then me, and then Ralph in one fell swoop.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Alanis Morissette is 38 years old today.
Still hot, right, Alanis?
Yes, and still super talented. Yeah. I think she's just the best. Although she's very pro-breastfeeding to like you're like 16.
How does she feel about it for guys my age?
Hello. Hello.
I'm just...
All right, that's creepy.
Ralph's out now. He can't even continue with the birthdays. Come on, Ralph.
When it comes to making jokes like that, you ought to know. You know?
Oh,
I'm just saying.
Oh my God,
I'm just
fire.
Saying.
Oh, my God, fire.
It's inappropriate.
Isn't it ironic that you would go there and you would make that joke?
No.
That from you too.
Listen, I got one hand in my pocket and the other one's doing this, all right? That's all I got. That's all you need to know.
I'm out. So I think, I don't know. What do you think?
No
Ralph?
Way, Kevin. Come
I think
on.
I'm standing by that one as well.
Would you both like to take that back?
That was a 2-on-1.
I feel like
it was a 2-1. You passed it. I passed it back, and then boom, top shelf.
Top shelf.
Goal.
Only if it's an error by the goalie
did
that
one
score.
That was sweet.
All right, we won't take it back. I'm with you then.
It was a wrister.
If you're not going to take it back, then I'm not going to take it back as well.
No way.
And we bring in comedian Brad Williams. Hi, Brad.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Brad filled in for Ralph on Showbiz a couple of days, and he's not good. I mean, he's good. We'll let him decide on whether he'd like to take it back or not. Here's Brad doing the showbiz.
Chris Novoselic from Nirvana is 47. Singer Sonny from POD is 38. I thought he was dead. I didn't know he was still alive. Anybody?
Dean? Okay, now, at this point, I just want to point out, none of us got it. We didn't understand Alive, of course, is a POD song. We didn't know that's what he was talking about. Okay,
that's how advanced my comedy is. It's so far ahead of you guys.
So let's continue.
I think so, yeah.
All right.
Really? I thought I was going to get
You're
a file.
You're thinking of Jim Morrison.
Yeah, I'm getting file from the other room.
Oh, really? You're getting file from the other room?
Yeah. Yeah, we need to file that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, the question is...
Would you like to take that back?
None of us got it, Brad.
Well, that's because my comedy is just so advanced. You weren't expecting a joke.
Would you like to take that back?
Here I am talking about POD, and
would
then just
like
boom. Boom, I lay
would
it
you
on
like
you.
To take that back?
Yeah, I'll take that one.
The problem is that he was only 38, so he's really just a member of the youth of the nation.
Oh,
I mean, that's what that's
not
maybe the joke
now.
We were.
What? That's I'm not just what we're looking for right now, for God's sakes.
Oh, come on. Like, those kinds of jokes aren't helping.
Thank you, Brad.
Of
thank
all
you.
The would you like
all
to take that
right.
back, this is the fewest that have ever been taken back, by the way, which I
that's
think is
true.
A dangerous trend.
That's because there have been the fewest by you. in this particular.
President Dana White from UFC coming up next, right after the top of the hour. Then Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins is here. Now Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's going on, Ralph?
I'm giving away passes to the red carpet premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yay!
But this time, it's just for the ladies.
Ooh.
I want all the lady Spider-Man fans to call in, because I got a point to prove.
Any
Here's
girls,
what I'm going to do.
Any girls that
I'm going to load up
right
the
now.
Phone lines with ladies. I'm going to pick one of them at random.
Okay.
I'm going to play an audio clip from the Spider-Man TV series in the 60s, the animated Spider-Man.
Right.
And they're going to identify what supervillain it is.
And how easy any did you
one
make
of those,
it?
Any one of these women will be able to figure it out like that, because there's tons of female comic book Spider-Man fans out there.
Anybody that's female and a Spider-Man fan, call now.
See?
Just anyone.
And the phone lines are loading up. And here's the thing. What's going to prove to you people is their boyfriends are going to tell them the answer.
They are, though, is the thing.
No, they won't, because the girl will be on the phone. I will play her the clip. Boom, she wins the tickets, because she is a hardcore Spidey fan.
And you know what, Ralph? If you eliminated the possibility of men to run for the presidency, a woman would win the presidency.
Oh, man. Why do you hate women?
He doesn't.
I
well, he
don't.
Does. I don't.
I don't at all. I'm just saying, if you eliminate men from the competition, of course a woman's going to win. It doesn't prove at all the point that we have, which is that all men are calling to win.
You and Adam Carolla can just go in your no-girls club in your clubhouse in the backyard and hang your sign, Spanky.
Yeah, that's the worst club ever.
He-Man no-girls club. So we're loading up the phone lines. Okay. Let me do a little show business. By the way, speaking about women and how great women are, just as an aside, this isn't the showbiz story, but how about a little hand of applause for Megan Crafton, 22-year-old Megan Crafton.
I don't know what it's for yet, but
22-year-old Megan Crafton was arrested on June the 15th, charged with having sexual relations with a student at the high school where she works who is 17 years old. Hmm. Megan Crafton, 22, is the assistant cheerleading coach at the high school in Indianapolis. The male student was 17 years old, and she is ridiculously hot.
Really?
I mean, it's really, we've seen lately an increase over the years of these stories where the girls get a little younger and a little hotter, and now it's a 22-year-old cheerleading coach. And the lucky 17-year-old man who was the beneficiary of her.
Not Coach Beast is what you're saying.
No, not at all. Coach Hot, she would be called if she was on Glee. By the way, her Facebook status is engaged. I'm guessing that's going to change sometime soon. So good work, Megan Crafton, 22. But if you're 22 and the dude's 17...
I know, that's almost legal.
That's almost legal,
that's
right?
Where you're getting...
It's Crafton, by the way, Mug, not Kraft.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'm. How come I've been looking at it for 2 minutes and Mug still hasn't brought it up?
Because
you guys know the answer.
His alarm didn't go off. He's got a radium-powered satellite alarm. It beams in the time from space or something.
Go to images, madness. You idiot. Good God.
She's not that hot.
Fascinating music news. This Carly Rae Jepsen.
For a mugshot, she's really hot, okay? That's a mugshot. This isn't a glamour shot.
Don't even engage him.
Do not engage.
I'm sorry, Ralph.
Back to you, Ralph. Carly Rae Jepsen, this Canadian pop singer who's got this Call Me Maybe hit.
Yes.
Great song.
2 weeks it's been at the top of the Billboard Hot 100 right now. Between her and Gautier and Fun, this marks the first time since 1977 where three first-time artists had number one hits in a row. So for the past three number one hits have all been debut artists.
That's interesting.
First time since 1977 that's ever happened. Usually you get somebody who's got a bit of a career out there who gets the number one hit. Last time in 77, this was your trilogy. Bill Conti's Gonna Fly Now from Rocky, Alan O'Day's Undercover Angel, and Sean Cassidy's Da Do Run Run.
It's been a while is what you're saying.
It's been a while. History. Yes, it's been a while. The rest of the top 10, by the way, in the top 100. Somebody I used to know, Gautier, slipped to number 2. Payphone with Maroon 5 and Wiz Khalifa. Wide Awake, Katy Perry. She's got that 3D movie coming out, you know.
Yes.
We Are Young, Fun. What Makes You Beautiful, One Direction. Starships, Nicki Minaj. Where Have You Been, Rihanna. Wild Ones, Flo Rida. And Boyfriend, Justin Bieber. Glad to see Bieber slipping down the charts.
Me too.
Anything bad that can happen to him is good for the rest of the world. All right, look at my girls. Look at all my Spidey girls.
Yep.
I got Nicole, I got Vanessa, I got Roxy, I got Maria, I got Linda, I got Gina, I got Scarlett.
Who do you want to go to?
I got Vanessa. Got a Vanessa O. I don't know. Lisa, you're a lady. Pick a lady. Pick a lady's name.
I like Vanessa.
Which one? We got a Vanessa and Vanessa O.
Vanessa O.
Vanessa O. Vanessa?
Hello?
Hi, Vanessa.
Good morning.
Oh, I'm guessing not. I'm concerned about you, Vanessa. Are you a Spider-Man fan?
I am.
All right.
Are you in bed still?
I am.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Her alarm didn't go off.
Vanessa, I am going to play for you a little piece of audio from the Spider-Man cartoon from the 60s. You have to tell me what supervillain this is, okay?
I'll try my best.
All right, listen carefully. Here's your audio.
Once I unlock the secrets in this book, I'll have supernatural power. And a pumpkin, dearie.
Sounds like the Green Goblin.
Well done, Vanessa!
Yeah! Yeah!
Congratulations. That's pretty impressive. Congratulations. You've got tickets. You're going to the red carpet premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man.
It's a bit of a gimme.
I'm half asleep, so I'm really excited.
All right. When you wake up, realize that you're going to go see the world premiere of this, all right?
Wow. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being a real comic book fan and a hot chick in bed with sexy bedtime voice. Could not have gone better.
Nerds everywhere now have given hope. There's a girl out there who sounds like that, who likes the Green Goblin. It all works out. Listen to Kevin. Bit of a gimme.
Dick. I guarantee Kevin didn't know it. Guaranteed.
That's all right. I wouldn't know any of them. No.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kris Kristofferson, 76 years old. Meryl Streep turns 63. Cyndi Lauper is 59. Bruce Campbell. He is great. You watch him on that Burn Notice?
I do.
He's great.
54 years old. Mike Edwards of Jesus Jones is 48. Stephen Page from Bare Naked Ladies is 42. Carson Daly. It says here talk show host, Carson Daly.
Hmm. Okay. Hmm.
He's also the host of The Voice, 39 years old. Chris Traynor of Helmet is 39 as well. And Donald Faison from Scrubs, 38 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
There aren't a lot of things that just get better. Not a lot of things that you look at it and they go, okay, but now it's an upgrade. But check this out. Del Taco today from noon till 2 in Irvine on Irvine Boulevard at Yale Avenue. No beer mug. Beer mug's not going to be there with the K-Rock van giving away the tickets and the prizes, Kevin. It's going to be Psycho Mike.
Oh, much better.
Hey. Mike Catherwood.
Wow.
Noon till 2. That's at the Del Taco at Irvine Boulevard and Yale Avenue. While you're there, you get your K-Rock sticker. Be sure to send in the back and win the 2012 Honda Civic Hybrid and the 2012 Honda Motorcycle Plus tickets to the Honda Civic Tour with Linkin Park and Incubus. All those details at krock.com. Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins joins us coming up next. First, though, the president is on the line. Dana White from the UFC back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Dana, how are you?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing great. We know every time we talk to you, you have a million plates in the air. What you got going on today you want to tell us about?
Well, I'm in Atlantic City, New Jersey. We have a fight tonight live and free on FX. And then as soon as that fight's over, I jump on the plane and fly down to Brazil, where we will be doing the pay-per-view tomorrow night live from Brazil.
All right, so it's so it's free on FX tonight, and then tomorrow night it's pay-per-view from Brazil.
Yes.
Hey, Brazil is becoming your home away from home, Dana.
Oh, man, it's crazy down there. Let me give you probably not only the biggest fight we'll do this year, but probably one of the biggest sporting events this year worldwide will be the Anderson Silva-Chael Sonnen fight, which is 4th of July weekend in Vegas.
Yeah.
In Brazil, 70 million people will watch that fight.
I'm sorry, I thought you said 70 million.
70 million, 7-0.
That's absurd.
By the way, give us the update. We had Chael on a couple of weeks ago, and we held his feet to the fire, and we said, are you still standing by? I'm going to retire from the sport if I lose. And he said yes. Do you believe that?
I don't believe half the stuff this guy says.
That's probably smart, about 50-50.
Yeah, I actually have to hold separate press conferences to, you know, crush all the rumors that Chael starts.
Right.
But one thing about the guy – listen, if you look at the career of Anderson Silva, who is not only a pound-for-pound best fighter in the world, I think he's the best ever of all time. Chael Sonnen is the only guy who's come close to beating him. And if there was another, you know, he was a minute 30 away from beating him.
Yeah, he was more than fight. He was more than close to beating him. I mean, it was just a matter of waiting.
It was hanging
out.
On. Yeah. You just had to hang on. Right, exactly.
It was 1 minute and 30 seconds, and he would have won that fight and won the title and beat the best fighter in the world. You know, and the guy does. I mean, for all the crazy stuff that he does say, man, when he fights, he backs it up.
Yep. That's for sure.
No, you're right about that. And he is one of those guys who you just can't take your eyes and ears off of because he's so unpredictable. And you're absolutely right. He's not just the mouth, but he also can prove it in the octagon, too. And then before I move on to one other thing I need to ask you, we have to mention August 4th. Once again, you are coming back to Staples Center, which was a tremendous venue for you last time you fought there. Got a great lineup for that on August 4th as well, Dana.
Yeah, that's for Fox, too. That's the big Fox card. We're doing four big cards on Fox every year. And believe me, we have been, I don't know if you guys have been following, we have been plagued with injuries,
yep.
Man. Guys have been getting injured left and right. But we've been very fortunate that we've been able to put that, you know, all the cards back together, sometimes with better fights than we had the first time. But we got Machida on that card. Shogun is on that card. You know, some of the best fighters in the world fighting that night for free on Fox.
And tickets go on sale today at 10, starting at $30 at Ticketmaster.com. So if you want to see UFC at Staples Center, I know a lot of you did last time. You want to see it again. You got Shogun versus Brandon the Truth Vera, and you got a bunch of other fighters. That's going to be a great night.
I agree. We got to get you guys out to the fight when we're at Staples Center.
Listen,
get us out there to fight or to watch.
Watch. I'll watch. I got no problem with that, but I'm not stepping in the ring unless you do.
I'm not fighting either.
You guys have to get to a live event. You have to check it out.
Hey, I've been to several fights. Joe Rogan got me tickets to several fights. Once when it was at Honda Center and Staples Center, I went to, and Staples Center this time is August 4th. I think I can make that one as well.
Yeah, it's so much fun. Tickets to see in person at 10 o'clock this morning for $30. Dana, the other thing that I wanted to ask you about, because I know that even though they're technically competition, you are also a fan of boxing, is we haven't had you on since the unbelievable controversial Pacquiao verdict, and I wanted to know what you thought about that.
I'm a huge fan of boxing, and I want to see the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight as much as anybody, and it was just... I've been talking about this for a long time. The problem that the sport has right now with the judging and reffing. And the reason the world noticed this time is because it was such a high profile fight.
Right.
But it's a huge problem, not just in Nevada, but in a lot of other states too. We need to, what people don't realize is boxing and mixed martial arts were regulated by the same, bodies that oversee us, which is basically the government. The government oversees us, and state to state, and the level of talent in the refereeing and judging is horrendous. And not only do you affect the sport in that you get a lot of people that are pissed off after they watch a fight that a guy clearly won, but he loses.
Right.
But there's all kinds of other things that happen. Fights that are stopped too soon and a referee blowing a fight and making the wrong call. If you think about this, all other sports have used technology to make the sport better and more fair. And combat sports need to start doing it too. Instant replay. Listen, people make mistakes in the NBA, NFL, and everything
right,
else.
Of course.
But they go look underneath that towel and look in the camera and see what the right call is. And that's what needs to happen in this sport too.
But is it incompetence, or is it malfeasance, or is it corruption? I mean, or is it a combination of all three depending on the night?
I can tell you this. I find it hard to believe that it would be corruption in this world. I know how it works. The Athletic Commission could care less what I think or what my input is or who if I had an agenda and wanted somebody to win. It's so not like that. I can't even tell you.
So it's incompetence?
What it is it's 100% absolute incompetence.
How have
That's exactly
you,
what it is.
As the UFC, I mean, you've had some controversial decisions as well, but nothing to this level. How do you try and stay away from that?
You can't. I mean, I tell these fighters, it's a scary thing when you step in there. The referee or the judge can blow this fight for you. Don't let them. Get in there and finish the fight, which obviously makes the fights more exciting, too. But you can't let it go to a decision. These guys, they're that bad. That's how bad these guys are. And guess what? We were talking about this yesterday. I'm in Atlantic City. I have not talked to one person in this country who thinks that Pacquiao didn't win that fight.
Yeah, by a landslide. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. You make some excellent points, Dana, as you always do. UFC on FX is going to be tonight from Atlantic City. UFC 147 is going to be on pay-per-view from Brazil tomorrow. That's Silva versus Franklin, too. And then again, whatever you do, do not forget to buy your tickets to see in person at Staples Center August 4th. Those tickets go on sale this morning at 10 o'clock for just $30, Shogun versus The Truth. You're the best, President. But White,
thank you, guys.
So much appreciate having you on. Talk to you soon.
Have a great day.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 28 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Let's let Mr. Corgan get his headset on. I think we are ready in 3, 2. Billy Corgan is here on the Kevin and Bean Show, ladies and gentlemen. Oh. Hey, Billy.
Morning.
All right, you had more energy 3 seconds ago. What happened to you?
Your response.
It's deer in headlights.
Your no response one look at was him. A great rejection to the enthusiasm with which I introduced you, my friend.
Oh, thank you.
I was trying to remember the last time we saw you. I don't think I do. It has been a long-ass time. How you been?
You mean since we talked last?
Yes, I want to hear day by day. How have you been since the last time we spoke?
A complete recap.
I mean, right now it's great. Feel great. Things are good. Band's great.
Band is great. Album is great. It is out just this past Tuesday called Oceania. We were talking to Billy briefly right before we went on the air, and I said, it must be kind of fun to do press when everybody loves the project.
And what did you say to me in response, Billy?
It's been 17 years.
But that's got to be so... I was thinking about this yesterday when I was listening to the album again. It's got to be so strange because as an artist, you put out what you want. You put out the songs that are meaningful to you, the things that you want to say, the things that you want to express. You record them the way you want. I mean, you're a guy who has final approval on what your music sounds like. Obviously, you love it and it's important to you. And then if it's not received well... How do you process that?
Do you learn to ignore it?
Eventually you do, because you realize that the same people who are telling you one thing is great are the same people telling you another thing's bad, and maybe somewhere the truth's somewhere in between.
Right.
I think the difficult thing is that people assume that you have a switch that you can flip, you know? And I would say to a fan, like, look, the same guy who wrote today wrote the song that you don't like, and it came from the same place, so... I can't sort of – I'm not going to change that.
Right.
You know, because that got me here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to jump off of that just because you want me to rehash something or, you know. So like some people have pointed out, like there's some familiarity of past strains on the album as if it was a sort of a calculated, you know, like a marketing strategy.
I noticed that too and I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Thank you. And I like it too. My point is that I came back to those things naturally on my own.
Because you're the guy that did it the first time.
Yes, like it's like a reclamation of something that I wanted to reconnect with. If I thought like that, I would have done it when it was bad 5 years ago, or 7 years ago, or 10 years ago. Or
now, when you learn to ignore critics, mm-hmm. and then most of it is positive, you go, okay, now I'm fine with critics.
now
I'm going to listen. No, you don't.
I think overall the level of critical review in America when it comes to music is really poor. And I'll take myself out of this equation. We have great poets in our culture. Neil Young, Lou Reed, Tom Waits. These are men deserving of a real thoughtful review,
mm-hmm.
not some kid who's going to write one paragraph and try to sum up a titanic figure like that. In my case, I would say, look, I've been around 25 years now. The one paragraph's not going to really get it across.
Right.
I got a depth, obviously. I'm still here, still play my music on the station. So maybe take a little bit of a second to step back and say, okay, what does this person try to communicate? And then are they communicating that? It gets in more like a popularity contest.
Yeah.
And in the popularity contest, it sort of rewards the people who are willing to be popular. And, of course, we've had our moments of trying to be popular, too. But once you pass a certain age group, for lack of a better way to put it, I mean, you're in this for a different set of reasons.
Right.
Of course you want success. You want people to like what you're doing. You want people to come to the shows. You want to have a good time. You want people to be enthusiastic. But not at the sacrifice of the thing that made you who you are. And that's the hardest thing for people to understand in the post-American Idol mentality.
Right.
Where fame is the arbiter of everything. It is not the arbiter of everything. And look at what it's done to our culture from the center out.
Is that the whole Radiohead thing? Is that what that was about? Was the culture of...
No, I think we've broken into two cultures, okay? And I would say there's a lot of music that fits in the middle that's not accounted for, and I would say essentially we're in that middle.
Okay.
On one side you have, let's call it the American Idol mentality, which has permeated even alternative rock. You have a lot of robots with like full sleeves and the faux hawks that don't have they don't know who Henry Rollins is. They didn't see Henry back in the day doing the poetry reading. You know, I
right.
came from that, whether you want to give me that credit or not. On the other side, you have a crew who sort of appropriated what they consider they're like the cool kids in school who hate everything. And they decide this is our little corner and sod off to all the rest of you.
Right.
Okay. That's always going to be there, but it's turned into a business now too. So they need people like me to say, oh, see, he's the sellout. He's the guy that I crossed the line about 20 years ago, buddy. I'm not going to be the guy in the corner making music with a thumb piano.
Right.
You know, it's just not my thing.
Right.
I help create an idiom with other talented people that continues to be a successful formula. We stole it from Black Francis of the Pixies, right? You know, like Kurt said, it's like, you know, the down verses and the big choruses. It's not a big deal, okay? You can call it pop music, but we have integrity on some level. And so once you cross into that middle, who's talking about you there? Well, as far as I know, a lot of people I know are in the middle. They like John Fogerty. They like Bruce Springsteen. They
right.
like Smashing Pumpkins. It's not a big deal. And if you look at both sides, make their thing a bigger deal than it really is. And here's the last thing I'll say about it. If those things are such a dang big deal, where's the record sales? Where's the records? We've lost the middle, which is where most people buy their music. They just want good rock and roll. It doesn't have to be rocket scientists. And when you try science, if you make it like that, you're taking away the free independent spirit and you're trying to make it your own and you're trying
to
own it.
It's the two extremes that are really the extremes that are trying to act like they're the mainstream.
And the funny thing is you look at where one extreme, the super independent extreme, will accept a Nicki Minaj for being overtly super pop because she's cool pop, right?
Right.
But somehow I'm less integral than Nicki Minaj. But I've been down in this trench for 25 years.
Right.
And it started with seeing Henry Rollins at the poetry. Nicki Minaj would go, Henry Rollins who? Nothing against Nicki Minaj. But then those cultures want to appropriate what they want to and sort of leave out everybody else because it doesn't fit in their little picture because it doesn't fit in their business model. And it is a business model.
That's so interesting to me to hear you say that, Billy. And I'm very concerned when we have a guest as smart as you on the radio because I know how ignorant it's going to make Kevin and Bean sound. But when you were talking about that, I almost felt like you could have been substituting politics for music in terms of you've got the left over here and the right over there, and they're convinced that's the only thing that matters, and they're ignoring the 85% of the people in the middle who aren't all over here or all over there. It seems like there's some real similarities in what we're talking about here.
I think that's a greater reflection of our culture.
I'll tell you, Radiohead played the last Coachella, and I was one of the people going, I used to like them when they played songs. And you'd be amazed at the hate I get just because they're the band that you have to love. And that drives me crazy.
I think everybody's up for review, and everybody deserves praise where they need it. And if you're a mainstream fan, a band like Radiohead, which has veered into a more artistic direction, which I really respect, but don't call it pop, you know what I mean?
Right.
And don't pretend it's pop, and don't try to shove it down my throat it's pop, because it's not pop.
Right.
It's not. They're not in the tradition of... I mean, look, The Cure, which is a big K-rock band, The Cure writes pop music and does art music. I'm from that tradition.
Right.
I'm cool with both. If you want to go in a completely artistic direction, but don't try to tell me I've got to like it.
Right.
I don't get that.
That does happen.
That's what I'm saying. And then you start to say, and I don't think it's radio... Look, if you're Radiohead, you're going, great. Praises all you want.
Right.
Okay. I that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about the culture that's built up around those bands where they have to be fiercely protective because that is their business model.
Right.
That there are people that are so holy that they cannot be criticized and they're so perfect and they're so much better than you. And most of America doesn't think like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Billy Corgan is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to take a very quick break for a couple of words from our sponsors and then right back to the interview with Billy because we have much to discuss. Oceania is the new album. It just came out, available in stores and on Amazon and all the websites and for download this past Tuesday.
And he's going to perform live.
And he's going to perform live, but we have many, many questions for you, Mr. Corgan, when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our old friend Billy Corgan in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show today. The new album is out. It is brilliant, and it is called Oceania. Billy, you are the Smashing Pumpkins, right? There only has to be you in order to be the Smashing Pumpkins,
not true.
Right?
No, not true.
Because it seems like you can work with whoever you want behind you, and it's still the Pumpkins because it's still primarily your songwriting and your voice.
Yeah, but I think where that's unfair both to the old band and the current version of the band is that it's only when the relationships are sort of tight and I feel supported that I make the best work.
Is it hard to find?
Oh, yeah.
People that
can
play and have that solidarity?
The Pumpkins philosophically is a progressive musical unit, and so... You know, the minute it starts to become, let's say, successful in a particular formula, that's when we start to change. And that's hard sometimes for people. It's not always like, it's not a musical fight. It's like, why are we moving forward when this is going so good? And it's just like, that's just the way it's designed.
You know? Right.
Well, I've been very impressed in seeing some of the interviews you've been doing leading up to the release of this album with the praise you've given all of your bandmates and how much they have inspired you and pushed you in the studio and have gotten you into places that you didn't know about.
I honestly thought I would never again be in a situation where I would say, okay, this is a band. I mean, you can call it a band and they're in the room with you.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I felt like it was a proprietary thing. I don't feel that way. I feel like I'm actually in a band again where we're working and it's a moral consciousness combined between us. And Jeff, for example, who's Schroeder, who's native of LA. I mean, he's right now, he's like the moral compass of the band. He's like inside. He's like, nope. Cause
I thought that would be you.
Well, it used to be.
Yeah.
But I used to be a person who was like reading every magazine, and I'm not saying he's that, but I'm saying I used to be a little more in the culture, and at some point I had to disconnect from that because not only did I see where I was being marginalized, but then I saw this other stuff that was like, what is this? I don't even know what this is. I call it laptop rock, you know what I mean? It's like, I get where it's like Led Zeppelin connects to The Cure, connects to The Pumpkins, but then connects to what? I don't see where that next generation
came. A 12-year-old kid on a computer?
If that's what you want to do, more power to you. But I just that's that loss of power. And I don't mean power like loud guitars. I mean it's a sort of an emotional power. And of course, somebody would say, "Well, that's bands like Radiohead," and maybe that is. But that lineage that we came out of, I don't see where that has continued on, except maybe like a band like Muse or something. So, but not a whole group of people or a whole right. group of bands. Although you see it coming back now, and maybe it's because it's gone away that it's coming back.
So. Well, it's been a long time, and we love when our favorite bands come out with new music because you know we get stuck a lot of times for years with nothing new to play. It's frustrating.
We're all in this. We're all in that boat.
What do you find yourself writing about these days? Is it still what's going on in your head and in your heart? Are you writing about the bigger world or what?
I think it's sort of almost like you're caught between, well, again, two worlds. It's my Pisces nature. But I think on one hand, you know, I've had a set of personal experiences that are reflected in the album. At the same time, I'm looking out in my culture and I see a disintegrating middle class. I see, like we talked about, political classes that are going into extremism where I'm a conscious person. I don't see where anybody's talking to me.
Right. They don't represent – no one represents you.
I mean I'm the type of person who wants to hear what a Democrat and a Republican has to say and say, how do we put these pieces together? Because obviously you got to move forward. I mean, you know, and not to bore anybody, but like most of the bridges in this country are 50 to 80 years old. And I think I saw some report where it's 20% of the bridges, if they went on the standards, would be condemned. You know, where's our public works program? Where's our putting people back to work? Where's our initiative as Americans to band together? And then we sit around, we argue about, you know, as my father said on the phone yesterday, Chloe's toenail. You know, as I'm having this conversation, I'm thinking, my dad knows who Khloe Kardashian is?
I was going to say, that's got to be more concerning than anything.
My dad's a big reality TV guy.
Is he a Housewives guy?
You know, I don't know. I haven't asked.
Well, you need to.
He watches a lot of TV.
You probe that a little deeper.
Billy, do you go out of your way? And I mean, no disrespect from this question. Please understand. I'm a fan. But do you go out of your way to pick song titles that make it impossible to know, A, what the songs are about, and B, which song on the album is called by that title? Because seriously, I think Violet Rays, Panopticon, Quasar, The Chimera, Glissandra. What the hell's going on here, dude?
I think, you know, I grew up like a Rush fan and, you know, kind of prog rock fan. So I always liked when a song title made me go, what the heck is that?
Right.
Uh-huh. So I think I'm stuck in that.
Mission accomplished.
But they all do that. Like I was listening to your CD this week knowing that you were coming in and I was listening to each track and I would look at it and I would go, I'm not going to remember Glissandra or whatever that is.
Listen.
I just know the track numbers. That's
the band,
all I know.
The band doesn't remember the titles.
Finally, there's a song called Pinwheels. What are the plans now that you have a record out, especially one that's so well received? Big tour, or what are you going to do?
Yeah, we actually have been working with this guy, Sean Evans, who's been doing the Wall staging with Roger Waters. So we're in the sort of still experimental phase. We're going to do something that's never been done with projected material. So we'll play the whole album in sequence with the kind of like a show, a visual show above us. And,
sounds like a lot more work than it used to be to tour.
You know what? I give a lot of props to DJ culture, like Deadmau5. And them. They're bringing all this new technology to the stage. And you see where people are really responding.
Yeah.
We as alternative rock, we have to kind of update our show. I think just watching four people stare at their shoes just ain't going to get it done anymore.
Right. Yeah.
We have to give people more of an experience. And we also have to give them something that they're going to share with their friends on their social media. Hey, look where I am. Check this out. Oh, wow. Look at this. Like I was taking pictures of the Wall the other night. I mean, it looked incredible. And you send it to your friend. You're like, oh, I wish I was there. You have to be able to share that experience now. And I think that's good. In the old days, it was like, oh, dude, Jimmy, you know, he played with the bow. And that's not enough anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You said recently that you don't think a lot of people come to shows to hear just the hits. They want a bigger experience. Tell me more about that.
I think that people want to have an emotional experience, but they don't know that anymore. MTV, the way MTV shot concerts and presented videos all those years gave people a sort of like a greatest hits meets the perfect moment mentality. So when I saw a lot of the K-rock bands in the 2000s, I would stand there on the side of the stage and go, they're jumping around like this is the greatest show they ever had in their lives. And then I'd see them at the next show, and it was the exact same.
Exactly.
Choreographed, right? We would only jump around like that if we were having the greatest show of our lives, right?
Right.
So you got to imagine a bunch of young fans, 15, if that's what they see from every band. Every band's having the greatest show of their lives. They think that's what a concert's supposed to feel like. So if you actually have an emotional experience, okay. So the only way that's going to work for a band like us is we have to be that good. We have to play that good. The songs have to be that good. And you sprinkle in the right songs that they know. And of course, there's somebody, but it's funny. It's 15 to 25 years. They're not necessarily aware of all those grunge rock hit songs.
Really?
But they come to see us play because they want to feel that power that the bands of their generation aren't giving them, the laptop bands.
Yeah.
They're not giving them that punch in the gut. And that's where the grunge thing can still work. I hate the grunge tag, but everybody knows what it means.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody knows the era you're speaking of. Yeah, I hate to ask this, but after you said 25 years you've been doing this now, is it still a thrill for you to get on stage and play live rock music, or is it kind of a job?
It's a different kind of thrill, and I think that's what you have to learn is if you go in expecting it to be like, you know, 94, you know, and everybody's freaking out in the mosh pit, it's not like that anymore. Mm-hmm. People are standing there with their phones, taking pictures, you know, it's a different thing. So I've had to figure out a different way to connect. And the thing I take now is I look for kids that are having that first experience. I'm not looking for the bored guy who's 40 in the Rush shirt who is waiting for me to play Bullet with Butterfly Wings. I want that kid who's like, wow, how does this? Because he's not going to find that anywhere else. And so that's where I kind of key in and I think, okay, that's who I'm playing for. I got to be able to deliver to that kid and that girl over there. And I try to find that and think, what would I want? Like, I remember seeing, like, Peter Murphy when I was, like, 20. And he gave this kind of, you know, Peter Murphy gothic and the whole. And it was like, wow, you know, you got to be able to deliver that feeling to them. And if you can't, then you're failing. So I take more inspiration off of their excitement. Because I can't pretend I'm not going to jump around like it's 1984. I don't feel that anymore.
Right.
And I'm not getting that from the audience either. So.
Understood. The album is called Oceania. It is terrific. Would you say, where would you rank this, Billy, before we let you go in the other room to perform for us? Where would you rank this among all Pumpkins records? It's got to be in the top three. Got to be, right?
I don't know. I think every time an album comes out, there's an immediate reaction, and then there's the 10-year, 20-year. Siamese Dream, which of course was very popular, grew over time in stature. Mm-hmm. It wasn't considered a classic the moment it came out. Melancholy was. And then since then, I've had to hear people say, well, maybe it's not as good. Adore, which was very poorly received, now is considered by most fans a classic. So I think it's up there, but
it's too early to tell.
I think my thing is will this lead to more? If this leads to more, then I think it'll be viewed very importantly. If it's sort of a little blast from the past moment, like, hey, we're back, and then you just disappear again, I think it'll be kind of like, over time.
Well, we're so happy for you, and we congratulate you, and we're so proud of this record, too. I mean, not that we've got anything invested in it, but as fans of yours, we're so happy to hear how great this thing came out, man. It is terrific.
I thought of you guys often when I was making it.
Appreciate that.
You are a liar, sir.
It is called Oceania.
It's called marketing.
And it is terrific. Billy Corgan is here. Is it just going to be you plus guitar in the next room? Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
That's it. That's
very
it.
Excited, and that happens next live on K-Rock right after this. And it has sold over 30 million albums with his band Smashing Pumpkins in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show today. His name is Billy Corgan. Kevin, you've got him there. Kevin, you going to be singing backup like you do, or you let Billy handle it solo?
I was going to sing backup, but I realized he didn't need it, so I came back into this studio.
Okay. All right. What number are we going to hear first? Do we know?
The Celestials.
The Celestials.
Celestials. Beautiful. Here's Billy Corgan live on the world-famous K-Rock.
Day that you were born, they built an empire off a screen. I can't explain. Endlessly, they'll set you free, give you reason to believe this empty place. I may seem unafraid, and I may seem unashamed, but I will be special game. Never let the sun catch you down. Let your thoughts run free. Even when the numbers draw you out, everything I want is free. Till the end. Till the end. Till the end. I'm gonna love you 101%. If you should go, face palm, you'll happy home. the scanner's way. Selfishly, they might concede. You are always on your own. You can't escape. I may seem unafraid, and I may seem unashamed, but I will be special case. Never let the summer catch you down. Never let your thoughts run free. Even when the numbers draw you out, everything I want is free.
Came from, but that was great.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That did sound amazing. That's a solo acoustic version of The Celestials from the new Pumpkins album, which is available everywhere, called Oceania. We have, Billy, if you have time, you came all the way down here, you got a guitar. If you have time for one more, we have time to work it in.
Hey, you have to, what do you call it in showbiz? You have to stall.
Stall for a second?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Gotta absolutely. Let me catch my breath.
No worries.
Absolutely,
let me ask
yeah.
a question in the meantime, and yeah. that is...
He can't catch his breath if you're asking him questions,
actually,
Kevin.
Actually, no, that's perfect.
Yeah, Bean.
Because then I'll breathe.
You made this album. Some of the tracks go into other songs, and it seems like it's made to be listened to as a whole. I don't really do that. Is that bad on my part? Like, I'll listen to a song, and if I like that song, I'll listen to that song 1,000 times
in
a row.
Fine. No, I think for us,
am I missing something by not listening from beginning to end?
No, I think what we did is we wanted to make sure that very first time. That people got something greater than just a collection of songs.
Right.
If they have that emotional experience that first time, then they're going to come back. And what we're seeing in the music business is if you don't have that emotional experience, you're never going to go back.
Right.
And that's the one lesson I've had to learn over the last 10 years. I used to assume, well, they're going to listen to it at least 5 times.
Right.
And
all
this
the
song
way
they'll get on the third time, and this song they'll get on the fifth time. And so we could kind of mess about with that and not have to be as present. This album, every song had to be present that first time. And we knew that because... We're all tech people in the band.
You're right.
We're reaching for that iPod the minute, you know.
Yeah, the second boom, is, yeah.
Know. You want to
move on.
That, so.
Yeah.
It's so weird for us to come in contact with a deep thinker. I mean, it's disorienting
How
for me.
How dare you?
Right now.
I'm a deep thinker.
It really is disorienting. I feel like I'm drowning, to be honest. Billy Corgan is here. By the way, no Pumpkins date that I know of in the Southern California area at this point yet. We have not announced those. Is that where we're at?
Yeah, basically the fall. The tour.
The fall.
Sometime right? in the fall. Okay, yeah. Fantastic. All right, we got one more song from Billy, who, by the way, on Twitter is @Billy. I can't imagine how early you had to be on Twitter in order to snag that name, but well done, sir.
No, it didn't work out that way. I had to kick off a guy who had @BillyCorgan, so they gave him @NotBillyCorgan. And they gave me @Billy. Don't ask me the Twitter rules, but that's how it
is. Well done. There aren't very many of those. All right, one more. What you going to do?
A song called One Diamond, One Heart, which I... actually believe I wrote in Southern California when I was out here.
So I love this song too.
Out, so.
Please enjoy.
Okay. I messed up. See?
That's all right.
Why do you guys do this to me?
It was just a warm-up.
I'm not here to hold your hand.
I'm just here to understand. If you're feeling low, I can help. I'm always on your side, forever near your light. I'm always on your side. However you must fight within your darkest night, I'm always on your side. Lovers is lonely as lanterns lost. Show me face, real cause. I'm always on your side, forever near your light. I'm always on your side. Whatever you must find within your darkest night, I'm always on your side. They won't rush you from me, 'cause here I always be. I'm always on your side, forever near your light. I'm not here to hold you down. I'm just here to love you when your stars align and you let me in your heart win. I'm always on your side, forever near your light. I'm always on your side. Lover, teach me sweet command. Show me where always on your side. Always on your side, forever near your light. I'm always on your side. However you must find within your darkest night, I'm always on your side. With evidence of trust and evidence of love, I'm always on your side. Capitulate and fade, resurrect and break, I'm always on your side. Forever in your life, I'm always on your side.
Can you hear that at weddings all over? Come on, Billy. You know that's going to happen.
At least a first dance prom song or something. No, that is
fantastic.
That's beautiful. Billy, I think you're singing better than ever before, by the way.
Well, thank you.
So especially at 9 o'clock in the freaking morning. That sounded amazing, for reals. The new album, again, as we've flogged relentlessly in the last half hour, is Worth Your Time. It is called Oceania. It is so great to welcome Billy Corgan back to K-Rock. We really appreciate the time. Thank you so much for coming in.
Guys, thanks so much for having me.
Hi, this is Patton Oswalt.
When you become a new dad, they don't tell you about the constant hallucinating that you do. Because I'm on 2 hours sleep all the time. And you walk around, every light has a tracer, and I can taste colors. What if I 1,000% believe that there was a giant invisible anus hovering over me? And if I wasn't nice and helpful and courteous and charitable to everyone I met, the anus would appear, suck me up into it, and I would be devoured by piranhas. Gotta lose some goddamn weight once and for all. I'll never do it, but I'm gonna, every album I do now, from now on, I'm gonna go, I gotta lose some weight, man. I gotta. 10 albums and I'm going to come out here in a rascal scooter.
I've got to lose some weight.
I'm a fat comedian with OCD. I get up in front of strangers and talk about my... This is not good parenting.
Ladies and gentlemen, Patton Oswalt.
The return of Patton Oswalt here on the Kevin and Bean Show, appearing this weekend in a film called Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. Hey, Patton, how are you, man?
Hi, how are you?
Ever have the Smashing Pumpkins open for you before in your long, illustrious career?
Yeah, good Lord, Billy Cole. All right, we get it. We get it. You're a searching, brilliant songwriter. Move along.
I have penis jokes.
Yeah, please. Well, I've worked for minutes on these.
I enjoyed Mr. Corgan's appearance very much today, but I got to be honest, I am happy to be ending the week with you, Pat.
Oh, really?
One of our very favorites. It's good to see you again. Hey, what can we talk about? There's so many things that have been going on.
Let's talk about the movie. Let's start with Seeking.
Well, why don't we start with the movie? Get the business out of the way first.
Because it looks like plugs.
I know it's an obvious concept. Ooh, what would you do if it's the end of the world? But it looks like this movie really kind of does something fun with it.
Well, it does it. What's kind of weird is it does a million fun things, and that every 5 minutes they encounter someone else that's doing something. At first, it seems really weird, and then you watch the scene and go, "Oh, I could see myself totally." There's a moment. There's this one shot that it really kind of haunted and disturbed me, where he walks by this gym. I think he might be in a gym, and there's one dude in there just really working out, like doing power lifts and checking himself in the mirror while he does it.
Sure.
It's almost like I'm gonna die ripped. I want to make sure I'm gonna be as ripped as I can.
Explain to people who haven't heard about the movie the quick concept.
Basically, you know what the movie does? The first scene is there's a news report saying that the 70-mile-wide asteroid that is headed towards Earth, the mission they sent up, and you realize, oh, it's like the movie Armageddon or Deep Impact. Well, that has failed. It completely failed. Bruce Willis and his team are dead. There's nothing to stop the missile, and we've got 21 days. And then that's how the movie starts.
And then the
starts.
Asteroid hits and Earth ends.
And then in 21 days, we're done.
Right.
There's nothing we can do. and then people just – and then, of course – but then there are people – there's even a moment that kind of reminds me of you guys where the radio says we have 21 days. We'll be here with updates and reports and all your favorite classic rock hits. I'm going to stick with my – like, you know, there would be a couple of DJs that would go like, I chose this path. This is my place.
This is where I'll die.
When that thing hits, I will be queuing up Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. That's why I was put here.
It's so weird to think about, and I know it's and I don't think it's a serious look at the subject, but it was so weird to think about all the things you wouldn't do, and you certainly wouldn't go to work, and you certainly wouldn't work out, and you certainly would eat everything you want.
Although,
and unfortunately, there would be a great deal of rape, and that would be bad. But I mean, it would just happen, right?
But then also, what I'm wondering though is, out of panic and fear, would there be people that would still go to work in this weird denial of, oh no, everything's going to be fine, so I'm going to make sure the mail gets delivered. Yeah. I'm going to be at the cashier station at this Jamba Juice where I'm supposed to be every day waiting to make people smoothies
that
while people are rioting.
That wouldn't be anyone in this room.
No, this building would be on fire.
I love the scene in the trailer, Patton, where the manager at the office says, you know what? You can wear your casual Friday clothes every day from now until the end of the world.
And he's also trying to give away the CEO job, which implies that the CEO has killed himself. There's also, I mean, I know this is a horrible thing to say. There are some... I'm not phrasing this right, but basically there are some very funny suicide scenes in the movie where you don't see them coming, but it's like, oh, I could almost that kind of makes sense.
Is that a weird line to walk? I mean, when you first read the script, did you think, I wonder if they're going to be able to pull it off?
Yeah, especially because she wrote Lorene. Oh, I always get her last name. I think it's
Scafaria.
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 She wrote Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, which is
really I love that movie
sweet.
So much.
Genius, yeah.
And so then for her to go, now I'm going to tackle the apocalypse, but with my point of view about it. And so I was like, this thing is just going to topple off of the tightrope. And
right.
It never does.
It looks a hell of a lot more realistic as an end of the world movie than Melancholia was, which is just let's go lay down by the stream and watch the planets hurtling toward us.
Yeah, although I do like the idea that what he's sort of saying in Melancholia is if you are clinically depressed, you're actually better prepared for the end of the world than the hopeful, can-do people that all freak out and try to run across the golf course while the ground is melting. And Kirsten Dunst just kind of dies like an angel, like, I told you guys.
You should listen.
It figures. So there is kind of that sort of, oh, be depressed.
Before we hear this clip that we have from Patton's movie, and I know you have been maybe modestly saying you're not in it all that much. This is a Steve Carell, Keira Knightley movie, essentially. Yeah. They're starring, right? But before we hear this clip of you and Steve Carell, and you're wasted, you're at a party, tell me about Steve Carell, because hasn't he turned into an unbelievable dramatic actor?
Yeah. What's really cool about Steve Carell is he reminds me of a lot of the stuff that Peter Sellers was doing back in the 70s, or, even like, I know this sounds weird, but Gene Hackman, where he dials everything down so much and so perfectly that the littlest gesture is what other actors blow a lot of energy trying to do.
Right.
So, especially in the scene with me, he's so not – he seems like he's not reacting to me, but if you look at him, you can tell exactly not only how he feels about me but about this party that he's at, because he's trying to be – he's determined to be polite and sane in the midst of all this, and it's what's driving him nuts.
Right.
The scene I got to do with him was really cool, because basically he was not reacting to me in a way that was cracking me up. It's really
single guys like us. I mean, we gotta grab this thing, you know? It's a different world.
Okay.
We gotta, you know?
No, I don't. I don't?
Ever since Deliverance, man, I've been with a different girl every day. And they don't care about getting pregnant. They don't care about diseases, or are you going to call them back, or can you provide for them? Or are you related? Right? And it's like the apocalypse. The apocalypse has leveled the field, man.
See, your character is going to enjoy the hell out of the apocalypse.
Well,
they don't care,
yes,
if you're related. Although, that made me laugh out loud.
But the thing I keep thinking about that scene is he and that scene devolves even worse. Like it gets way more crazy. And Connie Britton has one of my favorite lines in the movie. Then it happens like moments after that scene, and you got to kind of listen for it. But. She's distributing a specific substance and is doing it in a way that you would not expect her to do it. It's so – she has this great line that's kind of hidden in there. But what I keep thinking is this is all happening 21 days before the impact.
Yeah.
So my character might meet Armageddon with the worst hangover. Like, why didn't he time this better? And like, if I was going to go out that way, I could see myself drinking bottles of scotch.
Sure.
But – I would try to time it.
You have to build.
So
build
that,
climax.
Yeah. But I would wait till, like, okay, it's 7 hours to end, but here we go.
Right.
Like, I would lay it all out, and here we go.
Well, the movie looks fantastic. It is called Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. Keira Knightley, Steve Carell, Adam Brody is in this film, Patton Oswalt, too. We'll return more with
everyone's in it. It's really
everyone's
sorry,
in it. More with Patton right after this on the Kevin DeBeach on K-Rock. Actor Patton Oswalt in studio with us right now.
Oh, now I'm an actor.
Actor.
Yes. His new film is called Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. By the way, I knew you were an actor. You were elevated to actor in my mind forever when I saw you having sex with Charlize Theron in Young Adult. That's what I said. He's an actor, because that's not happening in real life.
They gave me my actor card right after that scene. They did a little ceremony.
You, sir, are an actor.
Yeah, it was really nice.
And I wonder how your marriage survived that, because that was, wow. And I wonder why.
Look, people who know a Patton know.
Have you seen how Charlize? My wife was jealous. She wasn't jealous of me. She was like, "Oh, I'll do that scene." Are you kidding? Look at her.
She is amazing.
Yeah. That was in your wildest dreams as a fat geek kid growing up, Patton. Would you ever have imagined a scenario happening like that in real life? Ever?
No, that was one of those moments where I'm like, "Hey, was I in a car crash and I'm in a coma right now?" And and like, I better try. They're probably about to harvest me for organs. I should try to wake up. There's no way this is happening.
Yeah. And she's the sweetest, nicest person in the world, right?
Sweet, nice, and really genuinely fun to hang out with.
Yeah, funny.
And also,
totally.
Here's the other thing, too, is she's an amazing actress in that there's none of that, like, look, I'm going to be in character today, so if I act a certain way to you. No, she would fall into the Mavis character in the scene, like, brilliantly, and then they'd call cut. She'd go, oh, so what are you doing tonight? And just go, none of that, like, precious, geniusy actor. She just
she doesn't mock you with her Oscar at all?
I had to. It was weird. I had to. You can't see it because they use fishing wire. But she hung that off of my back. There was like she always wanted this little bit of wire digging into my throat to like just. I want you to know who you're in the scene with.
Well, I bring up Young Adult in part because since the last time we had Patton on, it has become available for download and on DVD, and it is a brilliant movie, and you should totally get it. Seeking a Friend for the End of the World is out in theaters this weekend, and Patton, you're going to be back at the Largo coming up on July 14th at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
Patton Oswalt and friends. Tickets on sale now, $25 at largo-la.com.
And then the next Saturday,
The
next Saturday, I get to be on the Paul F. Tompkins show. Largo, which is an amazing, amazing show.
Are you sometimes afraid that you can't fill the Largo?
Yeah, I'm always afraid. I mean, I always try to, like, I do a cool – I know this sounds really lame, but I have all these different poster artists I use. I always try to design a cool poster. I always try to have really cool guests on, and I always am working on new stuff. Like, I want – if people are going to pay that kind of much money in – did I say that kind of
you
much
did.
Money?
Yeah, that's yeah. $25,
yeah.
man.
I'm an, I'm an old bait salesman down in Louisiana. That kind of much money. You know, I want to make sure. And then, like, whoever my friends are that are in town, they drop by. So Louis C.K. has come on, and Zach Galifianakis and people like that. So,
all right, you've made it. Officially, you've made it. Okay, we got it. Hey, last time we had you in, you and I were both deeply in love and in the throes of we could talk about nothing except for Downton Abbey. Now that that's gone, how are you filling up your time? What's your show now?
You know what? Now, here's the good thing about Downton Abbey. I don't know if you guys have done this, but it actually made me more of a connoisseur of shows, and I just don't devour stuff like I used to. So now I pace it out. So I'm waiting. Sunday, July 15th is Breaking Bad.
Can't wait.
That'll come back.
Can't wait.
I'll wait. Burn Notice is on right now. Burn Notice
love that.
Is like methadone for when you're waiting for the big
something,
shows.
Right.
I'm not saying it's a bad show, but it's just like we are nonstop fun. We are not and also it's a very bizarre show to watch because you know there's a YouTube channel of people that are freaks for the show that every little technique that Michael Weston does, like you can break a lock with a, you know, like right. a keyboard cleaner. They test it out and
really?
Make sure that, yeah, like there's, and now I think the people that do the show are like, we better make sure all this stuff works because there's these weirdos that are like
so
testing
funny.
Us out. Yeah,
I like that show. You're the only other person I've heard that likes that show.
That show is so much fun.
I agree.
It's just really, really fun.
But not as good as Breaking Bad, which is coming back, and I cannot wait for that.
Think of this: Sunday, July 15th, Breaking Bad comes back, and then that Friday, Dark Knight Rises opens up. That is like
that's a week.
That's Shark Week for nerds. Like you could not, I could not be happier right now.
Patton, help us out here because Lisa and I are trying to talk up girls, and we can't get Kevin on. We can't get Ralph on. What am I doing wrong? Or are you not on board either with girls?
No, I'm on board. But the thing with girls is you cannot if that. Girls is here's why girls is such
it.
A here's why it's such a brilliant show.
Okay,
because if you watch it. And you're, it's not for you. It will never be for you.
Right.
It is like it is.
Yeah.
So,
people make up their mind like that.
It is
nope,
so. And not only that, but it's just so real life. And the characters are so well realized that basically they are. It's like having friends that your other friends don't like, and you're like, don't you see how funny?
Interesting.
Like, I know what you're saying, but I just cannot be around that person. But there are scenes on that show. I remember I was watching. My wife is also obsessed with it. There was a scene where that junk bond guy takes the two girls back to his to Drew the and she was squirming. She's like, oh God, I know exactly what this is. So like there are just scenes that are so true to life that some people get very uncomfortable.
I watched it and I can recognize that it's really well done. I just don't feel like it's speaking to me.
I have friends who can watch the wall-to-wall rape on Game of Thrones, and they're like, that was really well done. And then on Girls, she can sit in a bathroom and be like, I don't need to see this, man. Like, you just watched it. Like, I think a dragon just raped a baby.
That's a
and
good
now
point.
She, why, how can you not? What was the leap you couldn't make? You know?
I don't have an answer for that.
It is incredibly awkward, though.
Oh,
incredibly cringe-inducing.
So funny.
But yeah. But so is Louis C.K., is the Larry David Curb Your Enthusiasm. I mean, those are one of the reasons we keep coming back for shows like
and
that. Because you feel something. That's what I like about it, is that you feel something. It's not just passive entertainment. You feel it.
Also, what I love. love my – here's my favorite thing about girls. The biggest criticism against the show is what I love about it the most because it's the most realistic when they're like, there's no black people on the show. There's no black people. I'm like, yes, because people of that age and in that part of New York, they don't – hipsters don't – hipsters are the least race-mixy people on the planet. If you want to see people that actually – like where whites and blacks actually mix, go down to the racist South. Blacks and whites actually hang out more than when you go to these little hipster – you go to Portland, go to Silver Lake. It's like the whitest area you've ever been in your life. Like even the Klan would be like, are there really no black people out here? How did you guys do this? So should I just put a Che Guevara shirt on and listen to the – you know, listen to – I'm trying to think of a hip band and my riff gun just jammed.
The Shins?
The Shins. So Foster the People drives away blacks? All right, good. I'll make sure to do that.
Why, if Patton weren't so busy, I'd insist that he is our TV reviewer on this Kevin DeBeach show, by the way.
That'd be awesome.
He does bring it into sharp focus. All right, we have to take another break. Oh. When we come back, Ralph Garman is here. Showbiz time. Ralph, you're in, right?
Are you kidding, Ralph Patton?
All right, let's do it right after this on the Kevin DeBeach.
Smells like butt hair. Cakewalk.
That Seeking a Friend for the End of the World commercial we just heard was a coincidence, but Patton Oswalt, who's in the movie, is here in studio with us on the Kevin DeBeach Show right now and joins Ralph Garman for the Showbiz Beat here on K-Rock.
It is, it's a geek-tastic summer. It really is. It's a good time to be a geek, isn't it, Patton?
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding? We're getting it from all sides.
Yeah, we're talking about the other room. The Amazing Spider-Man opens up this 4th of July weekend. It's in theaters everywhere on the 3rd. However, I do have tickets for the red carpet premiere happening in Westwood on Thursday, June the 28th, The Amazing Spider-Man world premiere. Andrew Garfield, the new Spidey, Emma Stone, of course,
mm-hmm.
Gwen Stacy, Dennis Leary as her dad, Captain George Stacy. You know, the thing about Spider-Man is he's got the best lineup of villains, I think, other than maybe Batman in terms of who he battles.
He has the best rogues gallery.
He does. Dr. Octopus, of course, Sandman, Vulture, Lizard, who's in the movie, Electro, Mysterio, Green Goblin, Kraven the Hunter, the Rhino, the Scorpion. I've got, I think I have 3 pairs of tickets to give away here.
Wow, okay.
So here's my trivia question. If you want to go, call now and be one of the first 3 people with the right answer. 1-800-520-1067. While we're talking about the bad guys, the Scorpion, one of my favorites when I was a kid. Name me the private investigator who becomes the Scorpion at the behest of J. Jonah Jameson.
Don't say it, Patton. I know you know it. Don't say it.
At the behest of J. Jonah Jameson. They were trying to build a creature that could take on Spider-Man, so they gave this gentleman the radioactive essence of a different insect, like a scorpion, and things went horribly, horribly wrong.
Still not as bad as when they created the dung beetle.
Oh,
that guy gave him the powers of a dung beetle.
Yeah,
he would gather feces.
Straight, just pushing a ball of poop down the street, remember?
Yeah,
he's like in Times Square, pushing a giant ball
just
of poop.
Just with his back legs, too. That's what he had to move backward. It was a disaster.
Spidey rolled up in the Spidey-mobile.
Remember, he had
the Spidey signal on him.
Why do you have a car, Spider-Man?
Because we need merch.
Yeah, I know. We got to sell something.
That's right. It was like a dune buggy. You remember?
It was the dumbest.
Yeah. All right,
guys.
Call now if you know the answers to that that trivia question. The Flaming Lips are going to try to break a world record next week. The band is going to do 8 concerts in 24 hours.
Wow. Wait, yeah. Where? Like in one spot, or are they going to move around?
All over the place.
Different continents.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Jay-Z holds the current record, by the way, with 7 concerts in 24 hours that he did in 2006.
So this is a thing.
This is a thing. This happens.
Yeah.
The Lips are going to start on June 27th in Memphis, then go to Mississippi, do shows in parts of Louisiana, ending up in New Orleans on the 28th.
Are they going to be full-length shows? Is that part of the deal, or can they do a song and move on?
I don't know what constitutes a concert, but right. They will be playing live in 8 different venues in 24 hours.
And I think Wayne will be encased in that ball the entire time. They're just going to roll him.
I'm sure they will. Like a gerbil, like a giant hamster.
Yeah.
He'll be rolling
exactly.
around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie's cousin is in the news. At least this guy claims to be his her cousin.
Uh-oh.
He says his name is Jonathan Jolie. He has petitioned the court to get a restraining order against Brad Pitt and John Travolta because he says Pope Benedict sent him to Florida to stop Brad Pitt from becoming a Scientologist.
I believe that.
But Brad Pitt and John Travolta hogtied him and threw him in the Gulf of Mexico. He says Brad and John are actually lovers in disguise, and now he's going to have to battle Brad Pitt to the death.
With what?
Are you sure this isn't Gary Busey?
Pretty sure.
Okay.
He said he's now forced to hide out at the Italian embassy in New York City in order to protect himself against the Scientologists. Sadly.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I know what this is.
You do?
This is a viral promo for Skyfall. That's the plot of the new James Bond movie, Skyfall. He has to. Oh, my God.
I didn't realize.
This is a total promo campaign.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, I know the guy that's doing this. It's actually pretty brilliant.
Sadly, the judge dismissed the case this Tuesday, so we will not get to see. This guy's telling the truth.
That's too bad. I'd like it if he was his own attorney, too.
Yes, I would like him to represent himself. The revival of David Mamet's play again, Glenn Ross, is being fleshed out in terms of casting. It's been announced already that Al Pacino's going to play the Shelley Levine part. That was the part Jack Lemmon played in the movie.
Ah! Ooh, wow. Oh, it's these leads. I can't sell anything. Ooh,
Bobby Cannavale is going to be playing Ricky Roma.
Oh, I love Bobby.
That's
he's great.
The Pacino part. Did you see him on Nurse Jackie this season?
No.
Oh, so good.
He's awesome.
Yeah. This show opens on November the 11th at the Gerald Schoenfield Theater in New York City on Broadway. So you can check it out if you're in the woods.
Patton, have you been on Broadway?
No.
Would you like to be?
Sure.
All right. Let's do it.
I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yep.
Long story.
I remember.
I remember this story.
That's right.
Well, now I feel like an a-hole for asking. I don't remember the story, but
I remember now.
I just thought I was surprised you haven't been with all
Comedy
the other things you've done
tonight.
And the good news following bad news.
Oh.
So am I an a-hole now for asking?
No.
I really apologize.
If you knew the story, you would.
I don't know the story. I really don't.
Oh,
I just
you're so delightful.
Do you want to fill people in or not?
No.
All right.
Is there a 15-second version of
this? No, there really
isn't. There really isn't.
It's a bummer.
No. Yeah.
Wow.
Good news about...
We'll take that out in editing, right?
Yeah, we'll fix that in post.
He's an asshole! I'm sorry. I was not intentional.
Karen Klein, the 68-year-old bus monitor in New York City who had to put up with a shocking amount of bullying from these douchebag middle schoolers. Have you seen that video, poor woman?
I can only watch 5 minutes of it. I literally wanted to call up Liam Neeson, show him that video, go, I need you to find, and you use your skills.
I have a specific set of skills.
Find these kids.
I will find them and I will kill them.
I need you to wolf punch them. I need you to break some of those little bottles. Make some Wolverine claws like you do at the end of...
That's the gray.
And just rip the skin off those kids.
But wasn't it so shocking that those kids could even do that? Like, how do you learn to be that bad?
I know.
That young?
And she's the sweetest old lady.
He is just a grandma, just sitting
but
there with
her
purse.
But she was kind of fat, let's be honest.
Bean is really
the guy, right?
That kid all grown up. But when I was that age, I was scared to death of any adult. It could have been any adult in any position of even pseudo-authority. I would have said anything. Behind her back, sure, you whisper to your buddies and stuff. But they did, poking her, grabbing her, the skin on her arms and stuff. And
Ralph, I would argue that you were taught that by your parents, and they weren't. I would bet they were used to that treatment.
But it's a feeding frenzy. It's an entire bus full
of
these kids.
I hear you.
It's not one kid who's acting out who's an a-hole.
But even when you were a kid, if there was a whole group of people doing that, you would not have joined.
No, I wouldn't
because
have.
Of the way you were parented.
The part of the video that really was when they broke Piggy's glasses. I really had trouble with that.
You're thinking Lord of the Flies.
Anyway. So please.
Entirely.
So is this news story that they were... All the kids were gunned down, or what happened?
No, it's not that good.
They're going to Broadway?
But someone... They're going to make it on Broadway.
Hop aboard the crying bus, yeah.
The musical, The Crying Bus.
We're going to make an old lady cry, yeah.
This video got up on YouTube. Someone took it and posted it at Indiegogo. One of the crowdsourcing fundraising websites, trying to raise money for this woman to send her on vacation.
Mm-hmm. She hadn't been on vacation for how long?
Forever.
Ever. I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, they launched this fundraising effort, trying to get $5,000 together to send her on vacation, because obviously she could use it after what she apparently puts up with on a daily basis at her job. They did not reach the goal of $5,000. Instead of, as of this morning, it's over $460,000
yes.
has been raised for this woman.
Yay!
And so you said she makes $18,000 a year.
I think about $18,000 a year riding that bus.
She can quit.
I hope
quit
she can.
Or hire a hitman.
Hire Liam Neeson.
Hire Liam Neeson.
I know some brake lines that need to be cut.
Bus go boom.
Bus go boom boom.
Do we have an answer to my trivia question? I think Ken on line 8 may know the answer. Ken? Kenan? Ken?
Hello, Ken.
Yeah.
Ken.
I need the secret identity of the scorpion, please.
The identity is Mac Gargan.
Mac Gargan is correct.
Wow.
The son of Gargan, yes.
Now hand the phone to your mom so that we can make get the tickets to you. She'll just go to the bottom of the stairs and just call up to her.
Oh, well, my fiance's here, but she's
ha! Liar!
See, sir, oh. Fiance.
Your Canadian fiance. Sorry.
You wouldn't know her.
Okay. That's fine.
Congratulations, Ken.
Pat
you're going.
Oswald, a huge geek, is.
We can make fun of our own.
Resist.
We
yeah.
can make fun of
Come
our
on.
Own.
All right.
You can't,
it's all love.
All right.
That was great, man.
Ken, hold on. We're going to give you all the details. You're going to see the red carpet premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Congratulations.
Congratulations also to Matt and Bram. They are both going
Bram?
As well. Bram, as in Stoker.
I know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Got excited.
There we go.
Today's celebrity birthday is Donald Faison from Scrubs is 38 years old today.
Chris has he been on Broadway?
Chris Traynor from Helmet, he is 39. Carson Daly celebrates his 39th birthday as well. Mary Lynn Race Cub.
Yay!
She's great. I love her.
She is great on 24 and everything.
Now
else
seen
she
in
does.
Safety Not Guaranteed, by
That's
the way.
That's right. Yeah.
I just shot a little short video thing with her the other day.
She's very talented.
She's great.
It's called
That's
porn,
a great story.
Patton.
No, God forbid.
Guys, 41 years old today. Stephen Page, formerly of Bare Naked Ladies, is 42. I used to love them when he was the lead singer.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still a good band.
It's when
he was the voice.
It's like he's here now.
Danny. Bruce Campbell. Speaking of Burn Notice.
Oh, nice.
And also Ash, of course, from the Evil Dead movies. 54 years old. Cyndi Lauper is 59. Meryl Streep celebrates her 63rd birthday.
Whoa.
And Kris Kristofferson is 76 years old
today.
Man. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Pat, thanks for coming in. If you want to follow Pat, it's at Patton Oswalt. You can see Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, which opens today.
And he's going to be on Broadway later this fall.
Why Bogart that joins my friend? Oh. Pass it over to me.
Hey, it's Beer Mug here.
Don't Bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
If you're white, you don't belong here tonight.
Huh? What?
Roll another one.
This is horrible. This is offensive.
Just like the other one.
How can you love it? It's
this
crap.
This seems to be about to quit.
Oh, my God.
You guys like factoids? Check this out. 1 in 4 Americans has an STD. Chlamydia, herpes, garden variety, genital swelling.
That's quite enough, Lemon.
Rectal fissures.
roll,
Jacksonville, Illinois, hello.
Just like the other one.
World Panorama.
This one seems to be about
Cincinnati, bow tie.
I don't have another sense.
F word, MF word, S word, G word, D word, GD word.
So my question to you is that bad?
Just pass it around.
No, your worst nightmare.
Is this your idea of getting jiggy with it?
Item 1, slow songs. I thought it would be a good idea if you ended each gig with a slow song.
No, we don't really have any slow songs.
So that's a clear no from you.
If I just went away right now, would that be the best gift that I could give you?
Yes, please, please go away and stop using that weird slow voice.
I deserve better. We are done. Now get the hell out of my life!
Time to release the Kraken!
Come on, you guys, let's get out of here. Yeah. Not you, Kevin.